Hey, what's poppin', everybody? Big Thursday show. Not only a show, we got a gig tonight for Killer Cares right after the show.
Thanks, everybody, that came out tonight.
Yeah, thanking you in advance.
So by the time you hear this, you would have already been there.
Yes. You've come through for us, even though you haven't done it yet.
It's like Inception. There's a timeline that's hard to follow.
What a bizarre concept this whole thing is. Mark's here. I'm here. Jay's here. It's the Drew and Mike podcast for Thursday. No Friday show, by the way. Charlie's got his going away party.
Oh, really?
Yep. So, we look like we're going to get the Grandy Ballroom guy on, but maybe that'll be Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah.
Because I should have the book tomorrow. And looking very much forward to that. Joey said he's got the Beatles 66 guy hooked up, too. So
nice.
Yeah, we should have some nice interviews coming up. Oh, and also, God, this is cool. This guy got in a battle with the state of Utah, I believe it is, over whether he can wear his horns in his driver's license picture.
Is he a member of the Church of Satan?
Yes, he's a pagan. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
How did you know that?
Because they've been in the news a lot. Remember we interviewed one of the Satanists?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were real pissy, weren't they?
No, they, you know, some of the things they said were actually kind of agree with.
They sucked you in, did they?
They like to point out hypocrisy in a lot of places, including government.
For some reason I didn't picture Satanists getting mixed up in government. It just doesn't seem like their thing.
They want to be free.
To do their thing, to do their bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, so that guy. Well,
there is no God.
The horns look more like Viking horns to me.
Oh, cool. Well, pagan's a little different, but yeah.
So I didn't quite see the pagan thing until I read the story. And he was bound and determined. He wanted those damn horns in his driver's license picture.
Why don't they just put them in front of Time magazine like they did with Trump to give Trump horns? Did you see that uproar?
I did not see that. What, Time was going to put horns on Trump?
Haven't you seen the cover of Time's Person of the Year? Yeah.
I thought it was just a picture of him sitting down.
Yeah, but he's like looking backwards, but right above his head is the M from Time. And the way it's positioned, it looks like he has devil horns.
Was that intentional?
Well, some people think it is. And Time's like, we knock it off. We didn't change the masthead at all. Do you have the picture, Jay?
Yeah, it's right there.
When people just have...
People will look for anything.
Oh, you know. Come on. That's...
stupid.
I don't know. It's funny. I didn't even see that.
No one does. No one.
It's like
sees
these people that see cocks all over the Princess Bride video box. You know.
Oh yeah, or any Disney movie.
Yeah, there's just cocks penises all over the galore.
Place. Yeah, or on the Camel cigarettes.
These people just have penises on their mind nonstop.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about Casper Smart's wreck?
Mm-mm.
He wrecked his Mercedes.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure he earned it with his dancing money,
His allowance.
Yeah, it's true. He did have a pretty good allowance. Pretty hefty allowance. $10,000 a week, I think it was.
Yeah.
And J-Lo was all emotional when he bought her that nice ring with her money.
It's like when a kid buys you a present with your money.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the way they split up, too. She wanted him to go to some family event, and he blew her off, basically. And she just said, that's it.
And he's regretted it ever since, right?
Well, I would think so.
Well, his allowance got cut off.
He's such a turd.
J-Lo, you didn't tell me my allowance would get cut off if I didn't go.
You're going to cut off my allowance, are you?
I would have gone if I knew my allowance would get cut off.
What the fuck was she thinking about?
He's young.
But he's a turd. I mean, seriously, is he that studly?
God, she looks great there.
I know. She looks fantastic.
No, he's not that hot.
And now Mark Anthony.
I gotta tell you, he's hotter than Mark Anthony. Though there's this ridiculous picture of Anthony in that.
Go with that.
Anthony.
God, she's got terrible taste. She must have terrible self-esteem. Horrible.
Sure, hopefully. Why not?
Well, to the advantage of these losers that she goes out with. Okay, what happened? Because he said it wasn't his fault. He hit a tree, but
it's
wasn't
not
his
my
fault. Smash.
Wait, what did the tree jump out in front of him?
Possibly. That's what I'm getting into. That might be an incredible story. Casper Smart smashes a Mercedes into a tree Wednesday in Woodland Hills.
Maybe he was just dancing while he's driving.
He made a post.
Beat was too good.
Rough night for me. Smashed into a tree. I'm safe and okay. Thank God.
Oh, thank God. But my really worried. We almost lost Casper off the earth.
But my beautiful car is totaled. Hashtag wasn't my fault. Shut up, you dork. Nobody cares about your fucking Mercedes. I mean, really, he thinks that we're all so
okay.
Upset. Yeah, exactly.
Or if it was your fault. Now go dance.
The dancer and choreographers performed on Glee, so you think you can dance in X Factor. I wonder if J-Lo's connections had anything to do with that.
X Factor? Probably. Isn't she on X Factor? What is she on now? Is she on anything?
She was on American Idol.
Oh, okay. That's funny. I don't think I ever watched when she was on.
Now, why is this not his fault?
Why is this in the paper?
Recently. I don't know. I think it's just one of those things that...
So stupid.
I think people just thought it was funny.
Yeah, oh, it's hilarious.
That he destroyed his last Mercedes he'll ever have. Recently,
you put rims on it like Evan Marriott?
Oh, she probably paid for those. 20-year-old recently with Jennifer Lopez. Couple split in August. Jennifer in a relationship. She got 5 years. Casper posted a sweet message to his now ex on her 47th birthday. Oh, he's so nice. Sharing love, Casper wrote a sweet post. He wrote, "Happy birthday to the light of my life, my supporter, rock partner in crime and love. It's the most beautiful bear in the world. I love you and wish you the happiest birthday ever." The breakup said to be amicable. Two plan to remain friends. Yeah, so he can keep his allowance coming.
I was just Googling him.
Yeah.
How tall do you think he is?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to say he's 5'5".
5'8".
No, he's not 5'8".
Well, maybe with lifts, but
she
still.
She towers over him.
That's still a lot smaller than I expected, right? But Anthony's a tiny little man.
Yeah, he is.
It's like Ben Affleck's the outlier in this whole dating thing for her.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know how big Judd was.
You know, it's funny. All these guys kind of treat her like dog shit.
Maybe she likes it.
And yet Affleck... We had a night in a strip club, got a little rowdy, and that was that. She blew him out, right?
I believe that's what it was, yeah.
I wonder if he wanted out.
Maybe after seeing the video.
The video?
Jenny from the Block video that he's in.
Oh.
It's like, oh, I got to get out of here.
No, he did a lot of dumb things. He was nuts about her. I kind of thought she dumped him.
I don't
remember. Remember how big that whole thing was, Bennifer? It was the biggest deal. It was like, what?
Vincent James wrote a song about it. It was so big.
That's right. I think he's back in line, though. I think he and Garner are going to finish up, and he's going to take his place in line. He's going to butt in front of
Judd.
Judd
again. Yep. And Ohani Noah.
Exactly.
I can't believe all those names. Like, we know all the names of guys that have banged Jennifer Lopez. Or
Casper
married.
Smart.
Yeah. Ohani Noah. Chris Judd.
Casper. Oh. Yeah, what a load. Anyway, cars. He could drive it like that, maybe.
Yeah, just bang it out. Just rub it out. It'll rub out.
There's no way. Well, we'll see. Hashtag wasn't my fault. Oh, we were so worried about whether it was your fault or not.
What happened?
That's so important. Okay, so anyway, speaking of cars and accidents, terrible day on 96 this morning. Did you see the pictures of the pileup?
Yeah.
Holy moly. About 40 cars just completely crunched between these. It looked like there were two trucks on either side of the
jackknife.
The mess. Mm. And all these cars in the middle just crunched together. Three people killed. Seems like the worst weather driving related is always west, isn't it? Like 14, 23,
96
those
wide
west.
Open areas. I mean, you can really get hauling and then the wind where it's wide open.
There seems to be something, though, about, I don't know if it gets colder faster there or something. Yeah,
ice forms when the wind goes over it.
Yeah, so that was
the same with bridges. I always wonder why those bridges had that sign, why the bridge ices up first. And that's how it was explained to me. It could be total BS. But.
So we woke up to that big mess today, and then John Glenn died.
Yeah.
In 95, first to orbit the Earth back in 1962.
Kind of a badass, man.
Becomes a senator. He was a member of the Keating Five.
He was?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That was a dirty deal, too. That was real mess. McCain was in the Keating Five.
Mm-hmm.
McCain,
everyone
DeConcini.
Always forgot about that.
Yeah, that sort of drifted by. It came up when McCain was running for president, I remember.
That was the big SNL thing, right?
So yeah, those guys all fought to keep Charlie Keating.
Kickbacks and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. He spent loads of money on those dudes, mm-hmm. on their reelection campaigns. And yeah, it was pretty much a quid pro quo, if you ask me.
It still doesn't mean that Glenn wasn't a badass.
No, he's still a badass. Although I didn't like that he butted in line.
I was just going to bring that up.
To go back to space.
Yeah, how's that study going about the effects of weightlessness on senior citizens?
Yeah, right.
Because that's a very important
bullshit.
Study to get done.
When was it, around 2000 when he went back up?
Uh-huh.
How many people did he butt ahead of? About 320 million? About 5 billion. About 5 billion. That's the Earth population.
Yeah.
Every person on Earth should have been in line ahead of him.
Well, you got to get rid of kids and people older than him, right?
Well, and people who are maybe handicapped or physically incapable. I'd say butted in front of at least 4
Three
billion
and a half,
people.
Four? Yeah, okay. Way to go, Glenn. Way to butt ahead.
That really sucked. There was no value to him going up
there. The other people on that flight were bummed out, too, that this old man's coming with us.
Probably.
Grandpa's going to need some extra attention while we're trying to get our studies done.
It was probably similar to... what's the movie? I love this movie, too, and I can remember. Where Duvall is the captain. They have to knock that asteroid out of the sky. And he has the young crew.
You always bring this up, and I can never remember the name.
I love this movie, too. I can't believe I
Space Cowboys, or is
no,
it?
Deep no.
Impact.
Deep Impact. Yeah, Deep Impact. I love that movie. And the one guy gets blinded when they're up there because he's trying to run that thing through the core.
Mm-hmm.
And
the asteroid or whatever,
and his thing gets stuck, and they're like, you know, it's like seconds until the sun's going to come up, and so they're trying to hurry up and get him back in the craft to take off, and the asshole comes up from this thing he's digging and doesn't put his mask down.
Oh.
He's just blinded like that.
Oh, you dummy! You think that's what Glenn was going to do up there?
Possibly. He would have done the same thing. He would have forgotten his shield.
He probably forgot all. Think about how often his life was saved while he was up there.
I always think of, you know, I was reading about this operation where I guess supposedly all these people are going to colonize the moon at some point in the near future. No, not the moon, Mars.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a one-way trip.
Yeah.
You're never coming back.
Yeah.
And there's all these people in line for it. Oh, yeah, I'm fine with that. And think if we start getting a lot of regular people up, you know it's going to happen. That first person that just wakes up, wants to go outside and stretch, forgets to put their
course.
Helmet on.
I've seen the Martian.
Which reminds me, I always wonder what would happen if you took your helmet off. You're like, God, my neck is itching. I got to take my helmet off. And you're out in space, so you're fucked the minute that happens. Well, spacing on another movie here. It's the movie where... Tim Robbins and his wife are part of the astronaut crew.
The Space Cowboys?
No. Not Deep Impact either. Space Cowboys is the old geezers.
I know. Who's in the movie?
Tim Robbins and his wife are part of the crew. And Gary, what's his name from? Gary Sinise?
Oldman?
Gary Sinise is one of the astronauts. I was going to say Sergeant Dan or Lieutenant Dan.
Mission to Mars.
I've never even heard of that movie.
In Mission, it's pretty good, actually. I mean, I love space movies. Almost anything about space, I'll watch.
Well, you liked Gravity, which I thought was atrocious.
I wasn't in love with the movie.
It was so bad.
I thought the first 20 minutes were really good.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
What's the actor's name? George Clooney.
Actor, yeah.
Dies?
Yes.
Spoiler alert. Doesn't he die like the first 20 minutes?
No.
Doesn't somebody die?
20,
what movie am I thinking of?
Not in that crazy part there. He later on, though, and Sandra Bullock, spoiler alert, makes it home.
Oh, what a shock.
And the way she does it is truly incredible and unique. Right up there with Apollo 13 and what they did.
Was the way she got home more ridiculous or the way Matt Damon did in The Martian? I was digging The Martian until they had to do the loop, and he's out there, and he cuts his glove to just shoot across.
I know. Oh my God!
Can't there be a somewhat really like realistic?
Can you imagine the calculations you would have to go through to figure out something like that? And he just wings it.
That's why they're scientists. So what happened
in
Mission to Mars?
Okay, they're. I never know that with the the proper names for the ships or whatever. But anyway, they're in the one ship, and they're going to dock
hot
on the moon, I guess.
Not Mars?
No, Mars. Mission to Mars. Duh. Why don't everybody go to the moon?
Having a layover in moon? That's the sequel. Layover on moon.
Obviously,
it's a prequel to Mission to Mars.
Layover want everyone to go to the fucking moon. They're about to dock on Mars, and their vehicle, whatever the fuck it is, blows up. So they have another vehicle nearby that they can shoot to, and they've got those jetpacks and all that.
Yeah.
But the jetpacks are running low, and they need to, like, they need to accelerate their jetpacks. They're all connected, too, by a rope.
Mm-hmm.
They need to accelerate the jetpacks just enough so that they can get to the other vehicle and grab onto it, but not go too fast so they just hit it and bounce away off into space.
Isn't that happening in Gravity 2, basically?
There's a similar concept.
Yeah.
So Tim Robbins decides, and his wife is one of the other astronauts, too, which makes it complicated. He decides he's going to try it first and see if he can make it.
Yeah.
And so he does. He accelerates, and he hits it just a little too fast, and he's not able to grab, and so he's going off into Never Never Land. It's over. See you. Bye. And his wife decides, nope, I've got enough juice. I'm going to come get you.
No way. That would never happen. Maybe if they were dating.
And she's got this thing where you can shoot a rope.
Yeah, like
to the person.
Yeah, like a grappling hook.
Yeah. And if he
that wouldn't
if he
work
just get
in space,
it,
would it? A grappling hook?
I don't know. I'm not sure about the
cut his suit open.
I'm not sure about the technical nature of this, but I'm just describing the movie.
It's a little too easy to be cynical about space movies.
So she jets herself a little closer to him, and then shoots her gun.
Yeah.
And the thing, you know, he's reaching for it, and it's going, it's getting closer, closer, and then it goes, just stops like 5 feet short of him.
Ah!
Like, oh no!
Did he start swimming towards it?
No.
Oh, well, come on. Put a little effort. Does she start?
I don't know if it works like that.
Well, did she go like this? Did she go and like throw it so it would go maybe 5 more feet?
She just shot it. No. It's funny when Clark and I were talking to NASA about this subject.
Yeah.
You know, about picking up a stray passenger.
Yeah.
I remember the way we asked the question, the guy's like, it's not like picking up a water skier in a boat, okay?
Why not? It should be easier, actually. Right? There's no force coming against you like the water.
That's
there's
true.
No friction. Should be
no,
easier.
You got a point there.
Cut it out, NASA.
So anyway, she says, I've got enough juice. I'm coming. I'm going to get closer, and I'm going to get you. And he's like, nope, you'll never make it. You don't have enough juice. You'll never make it to the ship below. And she's like, no, I'm going to make it. And so he's like, he knows clearly she's going to do it.
I love how the communication device is working perfectly, too.
Oh, yeah. And no static, nothing. And so because he knows she's going to die trying to save him, he says, I love you, honey, and kisses her, you know, blows a kiss, and takes his helmet off.
Sweet! Did it explode? His head just go poof?
It's a bit
zit.
It's a bit jarring.
She must have been a real bitch.
She loved him. She was romantic.
Jake, can you find that scene? I want to see this guy's head explode. Tim Robbins.
It's pretty cool. You know, it's probably on YouTube, I bet.
Oh, everything is.
Tim Robbins takes off helmet in space in Mission to Mars, maybe.
Since you love space movies, are you pumped up for Passengers?
What's Passengers?
Chris Pratt's been all over the place plugging it.
I saw him this morning on something.
GMA, he was on.
Yeah, it's funny. I like Chris Pratt, but I was just busy doing 8 things. I didn't really pay attention to
him. Yeah, I like him a lot, too. He's really good. Although it's funny.
So funny, though. Is this a serious role?
Yeah. Yeah. It's him and J-Law, Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh.
And they're on this voyage to some other planet that's supposed to take forever to get there.
Uh-huh.
And basically the passengers are going to be knocked out and kind of like, I don't know, frozen or something because it's going to take, you know, 150 years to get there.
Wow.
And those two wake up early.
Oh, no.
90 years from the destination.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's, no, so that, does that mean they're going to age?
Well, they don't age. Well, they hadn't aged, so, you know, it took like, they woke up after 60 years or whatever, and they had 90 years to go, so they hadn't aged. But the problem is now they have 90 years from their destination, and they're stuck on this stupid...
Do they have food?
I don't know. You're going to have to see the movie.
Sounds like they're kind of fucked.
But everybody else on the transport...
How does everybody stay alive asleep with no food for all those 150 years?
I don't know. It's a science fiction movie.
I just want the explanation.
And it's going to, there's, you know, a ton of people on this plane, too. Plane. Not a bit of plane. There's
ship.
A ton of people on this spaceship in these
spaceship.
Sleep chambers. So they're kind of wandering around this dumb spaceship for 90 years.
God, that would get, that could get really monotonous.
I would think it would be pretty awful.
So you want to see the scene where he takes his helmet off?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. This already looks so ridiculous.
From Mission to Mars.
I can't let you do it.
No.
I can't let you die. I'm sorry.
What?
What are you doing?
Blows the kiss.
Love you, honey.
No. No.
God, no, I love you.
Wait. Don't. No!
Come on, show him.
No! Please, God, no!
You already did it. What? Didn't show his head!
That was dumb.
The fuck?
That was this nerdlinger.
Oh, wait, let's see what this nerd has to say. Let's see what this dork says.
Did his head explode? Because it didn't explode right away. Right?
It didn't explode, no. It did not explode.
It
just turned. It turned gray. Everything turned gray.
Is that what would happen?
Pretty weird. Apparently.
That's pretty sweet.
I get a lot of my knowledge from movies, and I'm accepting that as what would happen.
Look, nobody's ever tested it, so they don't know exactly what's going to happen.
What is it?
By the way,
how could they show that 37 seconds there and not show what his face looked like?
And I said he loves this lady so much, his wife, that he cares about her, sends her back to the spaceship, yet he's going to die in front of her. Makes her look at him while his head explodes.
Shouldn't he have turned around at
least?
That's
what I mean, yeah. Or waited till she was back at the ship.
Well, she was gonna risk her juice that she had, what little juice she had left.
So go back to the ship. Or was he saying, look, there's no sense.
Oh, this shows the whole scene. Actually, this I think you need to see a little more than I was expecting. You can see how she tries to rescue him.
Quality's awesome.
Yeah, what did this person record this with? Yeah. It's acceptable.
A handy cam.
There's Sinise. He's bummed.
Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, there he is. There's his head.
He looks like Tracy Morgan. I don't know why.
Wow, he does look a little like Tracy Morgan. So if you're apparently a white guy in space and you take your helmet off, you'll look like Tracy Morgan when your head burns up. That's bizarre.
I'm going to chalk that
up. I mean, his facial features and everything.
I'm going to chalk it up to the poor quality.
I didn't see the resemblance, but there is definitely. I wonder if maybe Tim Robbins wasn't feeling well and they had Tracy Morgan sit in for that last portion.
He was a stunt double.
He was just on the set. Oh, brother. Man, all this out of John Glenn dying.
So do you want to see Passengers then? I just pulled something else up about
it. Yeah, I
apparently
do.
There's a robot bartender in the movie.
Oh, I definitely want to see it.
Can we watch the trailer, Jay? We pull up the trailer for Passengers. Yep. I mean, it does have Jennifer Lawrence in it. She's a great actress. He's a good actor.
No, it sounds good. I just thought when you said Chris Pratt, it sounded like a comedy.
Does
he really do serious stuff?
The way I explained the movie, doesn't it sound kind of comedic?
Perhaps.
I don't think it's supposed to be.
Passengers, official trailer.
Okay, it's Chris Pratt tinkering with some robots.
Hello.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
Is he asking me on a date?
The robot nods, yes.
So far, pretty stupid.
She didn't seem that impressed.
If they have 90 years together, they have to start screwing, right?
Oh, yeah.
You two look fine this evening.
There's the robot bartender.
Very nice.
Took you long enough to ask. So, why did you give up your life on Earth?
Oh, wow. That was weird.
We boarded the Avalon with a destination.
You're going to build a robot bartender. Give him legs.
Yeah, he was human from the waist up, but he had a little metallic leg.
But a year ago, everything...
Be a robot bartender?
It's a thought.
There he is. This is where he woke up early.
Hello?
I think he woke her up.
Yeah.
She wasn't up.
What's going on? Nobody else is awake.
Why is he nude, too?
Something went wrong with the hibernation pods. We woke up too soon. 9 years too soon.
This can't be happening. We have to go back to sleep.
We can't.
Oh my God, is that stupid?
They're on the deck outside the spaceship.
Oh, now there's no power.
Something big.
Sweet. Now it's
good thing they were awake for that. Oh, the robot's dead.
Robot bartender's dead.
Do you trust me?
No. Wow, nice shot of her running.
We're making out. Looks to me like it's a good thing they woke up.
Yeah. If you die, I die.
There's something I have to tell you.
I'm gay.
There's a reason we woke up early.
Whoa! I have absolutely no idea what happened in the last 20 seconds.
Got really crazy there.
All right, I admit I kind of want to see it. Don't you?
You really don't like space movies?
I don't. My problem is when they try to be too realistic, like Gravity or The Martian. And I like The Martian.
Have you seen Deep Impact?
No, I haven't. I want to.
I think you like it.
No, I like I love 2001.
Oh yeah, 2001 is that is really
classic.
Cool. That is wild.
Yeah,
we got to get your microphone set up, Jay.
Yeah, what happened to the fourth mic?
We have it, don't we?
It's not here yet.
It's just not here?
Yeah, I just got to go get it.
Yeah, we have cough buttons, too.
Yeah. All kinds of stuff.
And the cough buttons are probably as exciting as the microphone. I never thought I'd be excited about getting a cough button.
did you see the
what are you looking for?
Jennifer Lawrence scratching her ass.
What?
You know what? She scratched her ass against some sacred stones in Hawaii. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did she smell her fingers afterwards? Oh, no. She was just using the
stones. She had her pants on, I think, when she was doing it.
Oh. Give me a break. What, are people mad? Let me guess. People are mad.
Yes.
There'll be death threats soon.
People stop being mad about every little thing that doesn't
matter. What is with people? Why are people so angry about so much stupid shit?
Trump.
No, this is way before Trump.
No, I know. Because people get outraged. It's like, did you watch the South Park finale last night?
Yes.
The explanation of the trolling. How person A trolls B and then C trolls A again.
Yes.
So it's not really about the original troll or the secondary. It's everybody after that. I thought that was a really genius breakdown.
Yeah, it was pretty brilliant.
Of how Twitter, you know, faux outrage really happens.
Faux outrage.
That's what most of it is, though. It's so
funny.
No,
I know. I can't figure out. Are these people really angry? Are they really that mad about
whatever? It disappears, like, pretty quick, right? Like, I look back
at generally
the biggest outrages are on Twitter, and they seem to just dissipate.
I saw where that four-star general kind of ripped Colin Kaepernick a new ass yesterday at the Pearl Harbor deal.
Yeah. You know.
And
friendly audience, smart audience to do that too.
Oh yeah, he was reading. He's reading the right room.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I kind of wondered to myself: is that really something that's eating him alive all the time? That Colin Kaepernick won't stand for the national anthem. I suppose you could be pissed off about that. He could be,
I guess. But even that kind of died down pretty fast, didn't it? It was outrage for like 2 weeks.
I never was really that outraged, honestly. The more I learned about Colin Kaepernick, the less impressed I was. Because at first, I kind of thought.
Maybe that's why it died down.
This guy's showing some balls if he really truly feels as strongly about it. Although I wondered, how rough did Colin Kaepernick really have it? Was he really the right guy for that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he felt he was, so whatever.
But then you find out he never votes.
I'm sure
he didn't vote in this election because he said the system is so oppressive that no one can change it.
There's clearly more people oppressed than Colin Kaepernick. They just might not have the platform that he has to do it.
I just found him to be phonier and phonier as the thing went along.
Well, the Castro thing really backfired on him and showed how little he knew.
Yeah, it's just... he was not a... he was the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Greg Lake died from Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
Of cancer. Long battle, I guess. And at the age of 69, which sucks because, of course, then you get all the 69 jokes associated with your death.
said 69 was enough. Oh, wait, no. But you know who did say that?
Who? 69.
But Dick Van Patten's final words were 86 is enough.
86 was enough? Is that how it went? 86 was enough?
Yeah. His final words, he just said, 86 is enough, starring me. And then he died.
Greg Lake came in when we were just starting at Riff.
Mm-hmm.
With Mike and Trudy. And he came in and sang a couple songs. I remember he hit a real bum note, too. It was early in the morning. And he said, before he sang, he said, I rarely sing this early in the morning, so heads up. And hit a rough note. But generally, he was pretty good. Actually, it was cool. He was a great guy, really nice guy. I was not prepared for how heavy he was.
Oh, really?
He was a big guy.
Oh, when you said heavy, I thought you meant like...
No.
Philosophically
heavy. He was pretty light in that regard.
And he packed on the pounds?
Yeah, he did. He really...
Who was that other rock star we were talking about? And got
Johnny Rotten?
No, there was another one. Because, Jay, you were like, have you seen him lately? And then we looked him up, and he was huge. It's like a one-hit wonder guy. Remember, we were looking him up. I can't remember, but he's still touring, and he's just gigantic now. He's like a punk rocker.
Oh.
Do you remember that looking him up at all, though? We were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I do. I'm having trouble placing him.
That was a long time ago. No big deal.
Yeah, Johnny Rotten was huge. Huge. But he was with King Crimson, too. I'd forgotten he was with King Crimson, which was a really progressive, very adventuresome band for the time. And Emerson, Lake, and Palmer were, too. I mean, that was really progressive rock.
Who was the other band you said he was with?
King Crimson.
What would I know? That sounds familiar, but...
You know, they didn't have a lot of hits, so to speak, but, Robert Fripp was in King Crimson, and Robert Fripp was one of the really... great, great guitar players at that time. And played for Bowie.
Oh, wow.
Fripp played on... he might have been on Heroes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, they had that 5 years documentary on Bowie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Showtime, really good, yeah. Anyway, they brought Fripp in to talk about his role playing guitar for Bowie for, I think, just a year or two.
Hmm.
But he made some cool contributions to them. And... he was a real virtuoso, no doubt. And he and Greg Lake were part of that. Let's see. Lake was born in Pools, Dorset in November 47. First achieved acclaim as a lead singer and bass guitar player of King Crimson, who he formed with Robert Fripp in 1967. They were seminal in the prog rock genre with 1969's In the Court of the Crimson King. Ah, there you go. How about In the Court of the Crimson King? Deemed their most successful and influential album. Statement from the King Crimson label said they send their condolences. And Keith Emerson was a solo act, I think. He met Emerson during a tour of the U.S. He opened for King Crimson. And after meeting Emerson during a tour of the U.S. and Carl Palmer while back in England, the trio went on to form ELP, became known for ambitious theatrical shows and tracks that combined varied musical influences. Yeah, this is I know this song. I never knew Lake was the singer. It was a funny thing. When I said, you want Greg Lake? I was like, yeah, sure. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, absolutely. Lucky man. But I didn't know he was the singer. I didn't know who's the singer. I didn't know that much about the band. And Father Time, the Christmas song, too. That's what, a lot of people know Greg Lake from that, I think. I'm not real crazy about Christmas songs, Christmas rock songs, but I know a lot of people that really like this song. I'm not sure I'm one of them. Where did the volume go? Do you guys like this song? Do you know it?
I don't know if I know it.
I think Riff played it.
Do you know Emerson died this year too?
Yeah, killed himself.
Yeah.
That was just a while ago. It wasn't...
Yeah, March.
Okay, right before we started. They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning. I mean, I don't sit around all November going, God, I can't wait to hear Father Christmas or Father Time or whatever.
No one does. I was getting my hair cut the other day. You know, I'm sitting there Lady Jane's just kind of spacing out, and I was like, hey, I notice you guys are not playing Christmas music in here, because they always have a radio station on.
Yeah, that's nice. That's refreshing.
And the girl's like, yeah, you know, these other stations, they play just enough that you kind of get your fill.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about Christmas music, and what Christmas song do you think came on that I just started laughing, but I couldn't explain why I was laughing? Let me guess. Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it starts playing, and I'm just laughing in my head about, you know, Rated Xmas.
Yeah, there was...
Do you know what song I'm talking about, the Rated Xmas song?
Oh, I think I might know the track. There were quite a few requests for a replay, by the way. People weren't as disappointed as I thought they'd be.
People love that song. It's fantastic.
Apparently it has something
beat,
catchy.
You know, it's hard not to sing along to. When you hear Jingle Bell Rock, it's hard not to sing the alternative lyrics for... I forget what the name of it is. Unrated Xmas.
Oh, boy.
I'm not going to play it just for your sake.
Oh, great.
Just for your own.
Hey, Joanna's coming to the gig tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, she's bringing Carrie. Carrie?
Of course. She doesn't go anywhere without her.
It seems that way.
Is her new radio partner going to be there, too?
Yeah, what... I was just kind of catching up on that. I didn't know she's got her own gig now. She's
apparently,
got a radio show.
She's like the only survivor at 105.1, really. I'm going to ask. She texted me. We're in a group text. I'm going to ask if that guy's going to be there. And I'm going to spell coming the right way.
She was so bummed when our show blew up. But she worked with you guys, didn't she, for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She was there to the bitter end, and she was so bummed. And, you know,
she's the dean of 105.1 right now.
She is. Of course, we were all bummed, but she was incredibly bummed.
Mm-hmm.
It was really her first radio gig. You know, she went. Did she go to Specs? Yeah, she went to Specs.
Yeah, she went to Michigan State. Had her own business. She's a hard worker.
Oh, she's great. No, she was excellent. That was somebody. Mm-hmm. I thought.
Never judge a book by a cover. Always.
No, although the cover is very nice.
Yep.
But
there's a lot more depth there than I thought people would ever give her credit for at times.
Oh, absolutely. No, like she was building. Great. I thought she was
I
a
told
great
her as much, too.
Addition to the show. Yeah. I just like that she not only was up on what was going on and was very good about, hey, did you hear what happened? Or, you know, hey, some breaking news. But she was interested in the actual news itself. Whereas,
oh, my God, yeah.
A lot of people who are in that sort of mode of, you know, she was like an assistant producer, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people... You know, they know that something's important, and they'll pass it along to you, but they don't really care about it, or they're not really interested in it, so they're not going to tell you, oh, by the way, did you hear about this angle or that angle? But she was really...
And every time she'd text, I would just text back, yeah, like 2 days ago. Nothing would piss her off if you already knew the story. Somebody... did you ever hear the story about somebody telling her to dress differently?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I thought that was pretty weak.
Well... I think it was too late anyway.
I mean, maybe.
The die was pretty well cast.
Maybe.
Joanna dresses the way she dresses, and for her to have a complete makeover would have been...
She's kind of hurt by that.
Well, I'm surprised she never heard it before.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm not really sure what she was doing all that time before Specs. I mean, somebody...
She had her own business for a while.
What kind of business?
Public relations. I think
what happened
it was public
to that?
Relations. I don't know. The economy? 2007? I don't
know. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you know, it's kind of... People don't go to Specs Howard in their late 30s. It's a little unusual. But she wanted to do radio. She loved radio, and she has a lot going for her. I hope this thing works out at 105.1. Mm-hmm. It's just not what I would expect her to be doing at all.
No, but it's a job.
How much is she doing on the air?
I honestly don't know. I just see some Facebook posts.
To check it out. So she may or may not be bringing her new radio partner.
I don't know. She hasn't written back yet.
Okay. I think she thinks Carrie might be a more effective...
I would agree with that.
...presence. You know, there's just death in the air everywhere today.
Yeah.
I was going to get to today in rock history, which is full of death. But I'm trying to think, is there something else going on?
These are pretty heavy. Ken Daniels, that story.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Red Wings, Mickey's partner.
Play-by-play guy, yeah.
His son, 23 years old, Jamie Daniels, spent time as a hockey manager for Michigan State, found dead in his sleep Wednesday morning.
Oh, brother. That is just too...
23 years old.
Brutal. Terrible.
Yeah, and then there's... Another story, and I know the mom, but the little girl is Charlotte's age, 2.5. She had leukemia, a friend of Charlotte's, and they featured her on Fox 2. Her name's Leah LaCroix, and Leah had leukemia, beat it. It was in remission, and then it came back, and unfortunately came back really aggressively, and she passed away today.
2 years old?
Yeah, a little over two.
Oh, God.
And it's just, you know, it's like 2 years in a row now, knowing a little kid that's passed. It just kills you. It's just awful.
Yeah, nothing worse.
Worst story,
that
man.
That is just terrible.
And just good, Leah's parents, just really good people, too.
So, wow. Well.
So, yeah, death all around, you know, people you know and people you don't.
Well, changing the.
Of course, it's Christmas, so that's great.
Changing the direction a little bit.
Oh, I do. Can I mention, too, that there is a GoFundMe that they had for Leah. I know they still need some help because they just delivered another kid. But if you go to GoFundMe.
Oh, they just had another kid?
Yeah. Oh,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Good for them.
But GoFundMe.
They have medical bills out the ass?
Yeah. Yeah, they're both.
That's always a nice thing to add to the problem.
Drew and Katie are both public school teachers, too. But GoFundMe.com, and it's LaCroix Strong, or you can just search hashtag Team Leah, LEAH. And LaCroix is LaCroix, and they're almost at their goal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so.
This is out of left field.
Tell me something fun.
This is just, we talked about this. Late show execs are allegedly scouting out locations, and the feeling is that James Corden is going to replace Colbert.
Really?
That is going to happen.
Wow.
And
huh.
I mean, I was blown away that he's hosting the Grammys, for starters. I can't believe this guy's career arc is moving so quickly. Because I just, this whole car karaoke thing, I think, is so stupid.
Did you see the new one he did?
With Madonna?
Yes.
I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. But
she claims in it that she made out with Michael Jackson, which I just find to be the biggest piece of bullshit lie. She did not make out with Michael Jackson.
He doesn't make out with chicks.
Exactly. But what was really striking in the whole thing, she's really bitchy. I don't think that's a big surprise how bitchy she is.
What was she bitchy about?
Just her attitude. They were talking, what were they talking about in the beginning? And she's like, they played Vogue right away. And she, I don't know. Jay, can you just pull it up?
She's singing karaoke to her own song?
That's what the bit is. Which, I only watched it because I just don't get this bit, and it kind of is driving me nuts. That I don't get why everybody loves this bit so much.
Does everyone really love it, or do they just promote it all the time?
It gets tons of hits online.
Really?
Yeah. But the other thing I noticed about it is, look at how much work she's had done on her face.
Oh, I know. She looks about 20, 25, 30.
I mean, you can hear right in the beginning, too, the crowd goes nuts because they know it's going to be another carpool karaoke, but they don't know who it is.
For showing me around the city. I don't know New York that well, and to have a guide like you is wonderful.
You need to get to New York.
Well, I'd love to.
Come again.
Well, I will.
Look at this bus. Oh, my God.
He cut you off.
He cut me off in a big way.
Let's drive up next to the bus. I want to give him what's what.
Well, I think he's gone. I'm not the. I have no chance. But now he's cut back in.
She's called him a pussy.
See? Because you let him get away with that behavior. You let people get away with bad behavior, they're going to do it again.
Do you mind if we listen to some music?
Please.
Would that be okay?
I don't really like.
She's the type that she would have to confront everyone over anything.
She was bitching about that, too.
Which drives me crazy.
She's bitching about that. I don't really like to drive without music. Why is that funny? Why is that funny?
Ready?
Yeah.
Look around, everywhere you turn, it's
also, it's just because she's singing her song in a car?
Yeah, it's just because a big star is singing out loud in the car like regular people do, I guess.
Okay. Jay, jump to about like minute 9:50 on this thing, and I think that's when she starts talking about Jackson.
By the way, the car's not moving anymore. They're not driving.
Stars really want to do this, by the way, sing their own songs with this guy in the car.
Well, it's this big bit now. Yeah. So if you do it, you're going to get a zillion hits.
Yeah, more relevance.
So you want me to kiss and tell then?
Yeah, that's
it. Was it Michael Jackson?
I was.
What was that like? What was a night out with Michael Jackson or a night in?
So you want me to kiss and tell then?
Fake.
Don't
you? Did you kiss?
Of course.
No.
Of course.
You and Michael Jackson.
I mean, baby, I've been around.
Full French kissing.
Yeah, tongue and mouth kissing.
Fake. I did not know that.
Well, I haven't had the chance to talk about it. No one ever asks me.
Talk?
So hang on. So who makes the first move? You or Michael Jackson? Who leans in?
Well, I did, if you want to know the truth, because he's a little bit shy.
Yeah.
However, he was a willing accomplice.
No, he was not. Bullshit.
I did get him to sort of loosen up with a glass of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Jesus juice.
It did wonders. It worked.
She wearing a Macaulay Culkin mask or something?
Yeah. Have you ever said that before? That you would,
no.
That you
and the... I may have said it to a friend.
She just made it up now. That's why.
I mean, but now you're my friend.
Oh, I love that.
So now I've said it to another friend.
Is that official? Can I say that?
Yeah.
So if I say, I was with my friend Madonna.
Hey, you can say
really,
that.
I know, in fact, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say M.
Yeah, I think you should. Am I your bitch or are you my bitch?
I'm your bitch. There's no denying that. There's no denying that. Basically,
okay. I don't want a butler. I want a bitch. If you're my bitch,
enough.
Like, hang out.
Starring Jennifer Lopez.
You have to be subservient to
sure.
me. But if you're my butler, you're just subservient to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, okay.
And you have to usually wear some ridiculous outfit.
Well, I can't imagine that.
Versus the ridiculous
I
outfit
I can't imagine that.
Right now.
That's epic. It's not ridiculous. It isn't a ridiculous outfit. It's just a shirt. I refute.
The shirt is not
I refute
just a shirt.
That. I refute that comment. I was really pumped up for this shirt. I thought I'm going to put the red shirt on
really?
And Madonna's going to lose her for this shirt.
You're lying.
I'm not even lying.
Okay, you're not gonna get me with red flannel, baby.
Whatever. She's not very
personable, likable.
I don't find her very interesting. No. Have you ever seen an interview with Madonna? Oh man, that's a great interview.
The one Letterman did.
Where she said fuck 13 times or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, boring.
Like the only other interview I can think of with her. So they're going to really move Corden up to the late host, or the late
host, I guess
host,
so.
Really.
Yeah.
So what do you think that means for Colbert?
Wow, I don't know. I mean, he gets exiled like Conan?
Somebody
will go to late show?
Somebody will pick him up, right?
I don't know. Where's the spot? Where's he go? I mean, how many spots are there?
TBS could put him on after Conan. Comedy Central has got an open spot now if they want to bring him back.
I think he's got to develop something new. I just don't think that was the right format for him.
Talk show?
Probably not. Isn't he too unique to be interviewing assholes promoting their latest movie or whatever? Isn't that really beneath him almost? I think he's great.
I think he's... I think that audience maybe is just a little too mainstream America.
Yeah.
Like he's a little more focused. But reading the Daily Show book... The mm-hmm. most beloved person that ever worked there is by far Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, and then there's an executive producer named Jen Flans, and they're like the two most beloved people.
I believe that. I would totally. I can't say I would expect that because I don't know, but she seems so grounded for a guy as big as. I mean, I consider him to be an incredible talent. I think he's brilliant. And, you know, he's always talking about didn't he grow up with a bunch of sisters and brothers?
Oh,
like nine siblings?
Yeah, he's the youngest, right? Isn't he?
Isn't he the youngest of 10?
Yeah,
10 or 11?
Like
yeah. No, and he talks about his mother in these real glowing terms.
And he's very religious. That was something he wrestled with all the time.
Yeah, that might be a bit of a wrestle.
But yeah, everybody that worked with him and learned from him, they loved him.
That's funny because he's one of these guys who is really successful in a place where you would think that he would need to be extremely, or not extremely, would have to be edgy, pretty edgy, but I don't find that he needs to be edgy at all. Mm-mm. He's just that good.
Yeah, he's pretty damn smart.
So, I mean, the idea, I guess I'm just offended at the idea of James Corden and Carpool Karaoke taking over for Colbert. It just seems ridiculous to me.
That's what works, though, man. Look at Fallon.
Fallon, though, has a lot going on.
Yeah, I know, but talent-wise, it's a lot of, like, here's a celebrity, let's goof around with him, which is kind of what Corden does. Corden's not bad. It's not bad, though. It's just not something I'd rather watch Corden than Fallon.
I guess, really?
Yeah, I would, actually.
I guess it's just, you know, talking about the mainstream, the lowest common denominator at those times, and what works isn't necessarily what's best. I mean, Leno beat Letterman.
All the time.
Forever.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are very few people who would say Jay Leno is better than David Letterman.
No, but people, you know,
especially the people that go on the shows.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger is a father.
All right.
At 73.
Boy, he's going to have a rude awakening. He's not going to get much sleep.
Yeah, I know. Changing diapers. Oh, my God.
Bottle feedings. Ooh. Good luck, Mick. Oh, wait, you've been through this before, what, 30 years ago?
More like 40 years ago?
40 years ago?
Yeah. 40. His ballerina girlfriend is 29.
Good for him.
You know, the girl that committed suicide that was his girlfriend for a long time?
Yeah,
That relationship made a little sense. She was like 50, I think, or 49. Yeah. Really good looking. I mean, great looking 49-year-old. And I guess she was in a lot of debt to the point that, you know, which amazed me. It was like, this chick is literally the point of suicide over her business debt,
mm-hmm.
and Mick Jagger can't help her out.
Remember how much crap Jagger got because he was seen as kind of like callous after she passed?
Well, no, I wasn't really aware of that. Yeah. I know, he stopped the tour. They skipped a couple dates.
But there was a lot, that whole thing about, you know, why didn't he help her out? And he's like, well, because I broke up with her. I wasn't with her, right? So why would I? He had just broken. People thought that
that couldn't have been something that she just suddenly became in debt.
No, they felt that him breaking up with her was the reason she committed suicide.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
It's not true. That's not what I mean. He took a lot of shit for it, though.
Well, that's just stupid. I mean, again, people complaining about something. You don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I don't know anything about him and this girl.
I didn't know this, but Jagger also has a 17-year-old.
That's his most recent child. Is it with Jerry Hall?
8 children by 5 women with Marsha Hunt. Marsha Hunt.
That was illegitimate right around the time he got married to Bianca, I believe.
That is daughter Karis Hunt Jagger, born November 4th, 1970, with Bianca Jagger, daughter Jade Sheena Jezebel Jagger, born in October of 71. Then Jerry Hall, 84, he had a kid, 85, 92, and 97. And then with Luciana Gimez Morad, he has a son, Lucas Maurice Morad Jagger, born in 99.
Oh, that's with the model that he knocked up in a one-night stand, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Hot as hell.
And she married the French president, right? Isn't that the one?
No. Carla
Bruni.
Yeah, Carla Bruni and Sarkozy.
She didn't have a kid with Jagger Bruni?
No.
Okay.
No, but the other one was like a Brazilian model, I think. Well, judge my name at least. And then now a brand new son.
Yeah, what would it be like if you're like in your 40s and you have a newborn baby brother or daughter or sister rather?
Well, how about your great grandfather becoming a father again?
Exactly.
Because he became a great grandfather in 2014.
Yeah.
So his son is a year and a half younger than his great grandkid. What? That makes no sense.
What a joke. I honestly, I know people are going to think I'm being really just not expanding my mind enough here, being too close-minded, but how does a 73-year-old hang around with a 29-year-old? How do you have a relationship?
He's pretty hip.
That's how. Well, yeah, okay, so celebrity net worth, $360 million, fine.
Well, that's how the door gets open. But how do you...
No, but I mean, how does he has to... Okay, they're not screwing all the time. He's 73, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't screw day and night. Well, some people do.
mix one of them.
You can do that for a while.
Yeah.
But at 73, I don't think sex is always on his mind. I doubt that he has sex 20 times a week.
Probably not.
So there's a lot of downtime there. And how much... What is he? How well does he relate to a 29-year-old? I mean, how much? For example, how much of their playlist does she even know?
I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, he's been on tour, off and on. Maybe they just don't see each other that often, right?
I guess it just blows my mind a little bit. I would think at a certain point in time, Mick Jagger would say, "You know, I really want somebody to grow old with who makes sense. You know, who is maybe she's 15 years younger." It's not bad, you know. He's 73, she's 55, 56, something like that.
Yeah, but if you're 73 and you can, you know, be with this chick who's pretty hot at
29?
Yeah. Why not?
Jay, how would you think you'd do well with a 29-year-old girlfriend?
No. She'd be bored shitless of me.
Well, yeah, that's...
What about this one? Remember this story?
Oh, former Playboy Bunny, 27, divorces her 84-year-old billionaire husband... who she suspected of cheating. Denies she was only after his money. Mm. Really, she really dug that 84-year-old dude.
I get 84 and 27.
Well, you know, he's wise. They like his wisdom.
Oh, and Jerry Hall is married to Rupert Murdoch now, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, gross.
What the fuck is that?
It's just a different world for these people.
Jerry Hall, she really needed the money that bad?
Yeah. Apparently.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's ridiculous. She's divorced from Mick Jagger.
She has a lifestyle.
She must have a load of cash from Mick Jagger.
It's a lifestyle.
Along with all the other loads. Yeah, look at that couple. That looks so stupid.
Jerry Holland,
no,
or Jagger and his girl.
No, this is the Playboy.
The 27-year-old with the 84-year-old. I always thought, you know, for example, when Frank Sinatra married Woody Allen's ex... With all the kids.
Oh,
Mia Farrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They looked ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He's this middle-aged dude. She's a teenager. They looked so stupid together.
But without that, we wouldn't have Ronan Farrow, right?
Wait, Ronan, is that the alleged child of... Yeah, that's right.
That's Frank's kid, right?
Right. Well, some say...
He is. Not Woody's kid. He looks just like Sinatra.
Okay. I don't get it.
Don't forget the most infamous one being Anna Nicole.
Oh, that's so fucking stupid. Oh, my God.
What do you mean? They were in love. She was in love with Jay Howard Marshall.
86 or something going to titty bars.
Older than that one.
You miss me?
Well, when she married him and he died, I think he died at 89 or 90.
90s, yeah. You want to kiss me?
Did you hear about Pam Anderson maybe has something going on with Julian Assange?
What? Oh, I... You know what? I've heard that they were in contact for something. I didn't know they were banging. They're banging, really?
I don't think they're banging. I don't know. It's weird. She keeps visiting him.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was over a cause to begin with. Or is that just a cover?
Well, let's see what they say here. Baywatch star walked along Kensington in London with her jacket over her shoulders as she carried bags from upmarket Whole Foods. I was delivering the WikiLeaks founder his dinner at the Ecuadorian embassy. Mr. Assange has been hiding at the building in London under political asylum since 2012. What a weird position to be in. He struck up an unlikely friendship with Pamela, even complained when she kept bringing him vegan foods. Last month, the mother of two's arms were kept full as she juggled a straw bag, coffee shop, carrier bag, and a tray laden with treats like fruit salad and vegetarian burgers. But Mr. Assange described the vegan treats as torture. Pamela set up the Pamela Anderson Foundation to start of 2014. The Pamela Anderson Foundation.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
It just sounds stupid. With the goal of using her celebrity to help environmental causes and protect vulnerable people and animals.
Yeah, I forget she's big PETA, right?
Yep. Since then, she's raised awareness for organizations such as PETA, Mercy for Animals, and blah, blah, blah. In August 2014, Fashion Center introduced Pamela to Julian. I was surprised to take Pamela to see Julian in an embassy, but she got the date wrong, so she went... on her own the day after me. She told me afterwards they got on very well. Julian was just brilliant. Pamela's trying to help people with her new trust, and he gave her some ideas on how to do that. Comes as bizarre rumor spread that Assange may have died after a visit from Pamela in October. Okay, I don't know what. It sounds like she needs attention or publicity to me.
Yeah. Wow. That is a long story, but quite well told.
Now, it's really nice that she brings him food that he hates.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
That's really cool. Well, he can't go. He can't leave.
No. So he's trapped with her shitty food. I mean, what if this is just one of these things where, yeah, Pam Anderson, oh, God.
And he can't leave.
He can't bang her.
No, he can't leave. He's stuck.
I mean, I don't know. You suppose this guy has any privacy?
Assange?
Yeah.
Well, within the embassy, yeah.
Probably. Okay, maybe he can bang her.
I think. I don't know.
I don't know, just, I'm very suspicious. And as far as she goes, the last I knew, and I totally believe this, there were rumors that she was having severe financial issues.
Oh, wow.
Big time. And she was doing Playboy again, which smacks of somebody needs a paycheck.
Yeah.
And did the
she go find an old guy to marry?
I can't see her doing that. She's too wily. I think she would say, no, I can find a younger rich guy. She would not.
She probably could, actually.
I think some of these chicks like Jerry Hall, I think it's just laziness. Because Jerry Hall is attractive enough to attract a 60-year-old guy who's in good shape, who's got money.
Yeah, but Merrick's got a ton of money. She just wants a ton of money, though.
What does she need a ton of money
for? She's accustomed to that lifestyle, man.
That's so lame. And whatever.
Speaking of Pam Anderson, have you seen the new Baywatch trailer?
Pam Anderson net worth's $8 million, so maybe that story's totally fucked.
Yeah, but I think she owes like a shitload of back taxes.
So, oh,
if I remember right.
Yeah, that was part of the story. She did, and not only that, they were nailing her for interest, which gets. I mean, you got to pay out. You can't let taxes pile up like that because you just get fucked on the interest. They charge you 18%. Oh yeah, compounds. See ya. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Mark?
I just didn't know if you had seen the Baywatch, the trailer for the Baywatch movie got released.
No, I didn't.
And actually, I didn't think it looked that bad. It's coming across as very 21 Jump Street-esque.
Is this with new actresses?
Yeah, The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
In it,
okay.
And so is Zac Efron. But it's, you know, remember how when 21 Jump Street was announced, people were like, really? How are you going to make a movie out of that? But it kind of.
I love that movie.
They kind of poked fun at themselves.
It was hilarious.
You know?
Yeah.
And Baywatch is kind of poking fun at themselves. It looks, honestly, it looks like another 21 Jump Street just on the beach.
Well, that could be good.
But I thought the Red Band trailer that they put out was kind of funny. I don't know. I wasn't the biggest Baywatch viewer.
Well, here's the new trailer.
Is the elite of the elite.
Some good-looking girls in it, too.
The heart and soul of this very beach. We protect when other people don't want to protect. And we go above and beyond.
Help me! Help! If you want me, you can have me.
Some other time.
The Rock chucking some hot chick off a boat. Who might be saved?
The abyss here. City Council's already cut our funding. It's up to us to restore the Baywatch brand.
Oh, is that a plot device or is that about the movie itself?
My boobs? You should look at my face.
I'm trying, but it's so close to your boobs.
Yeah.
This is the guy you think is a good PR opportunity for us.
Use some shots!
Efron's puking. Falls into the wall.
With two gold medals. How many gold medals do you have? Probably zero.
We got a dead body on our beach.
That's not our job.
My gut says there's some bad shit going on over there. And my balls say we need to check it out.
My balls say,
it's just take it easy right here.
Why do your balls sound like 3-year-old girls?
I don't know, man. That's just how they talk. But they're wise.
All right, maybe it sucks.
Welcome to Baywatch.
Oh. Good boy.
Doesn't it seem 21 Jump Street-esque, though?
Why are you grabbing me so tight?
Yeah, I can see that.
She always looks like she's running in slow-mo.
You see it too?
You turned the canals into the damn X Games.
Yeah, that's because we were in lifeguard pursuit.
There's no such thing as lifeguard pursuit.
How do I explain this so that you people understand?
You people? You people?
Oh, you don't get to say that. You're just 10.
Right on.
Come on, brother.
All right, maybe it sucks. I take it back.
Wow. The choices of funny parts,
What do you mean?
I just thought that the three big jokes were all pathetic.
Yeah.
Zac Efron staring at her chest.
Yeah. Right. Which one was sorry. I mean, sorry, really? I wasted everyone's time.
Which is better, that or the Ghostbusters?
Oh, that by far.
I'm not going to say by far. I thought the action shots looked good.
Okay. Now I'm embarrassed that I actually thought it was okay the first time I saw it.
I like The Rock. I generally like what The Rock does.
What do you guys think, though, about all these damn reboots? Maybe it's just me, but I can't glom on. What's been a really good reboot?
21 Jump Street was good.
Yeah. That's why I kind of had hope for this. I'm trying to think what else has been rebooted.
I mean, there's been so many reboots of things, so it's... I don't know how you feel about the ratio of good reboots, most are bad.
I'd have to think of what else has been. Obviously, Ghostbusters was a bomb.
It just depends on the writing. I mean, if you got somebody that's got a great idea,
yeah,
and, you know, they get the right people, anything can work.
It said the guy that's directing the Baywatch one was Horrible Bosses, which that's a funny movie.
Yeah. I got to tell you that was not an impressive trailer.
No, obviously not. Sorry,
it's okay.
Feel personally responsible.
No, I'm glad I can skip that one. Now I know. Okay, how about Today in Rock?
Already?
For December 8th. I told you, it's pretty grim. Starts out with December 8th, 1963. Frank Sinatra Jr. was kidnapped at gunpoint from a Lake Tahoe hotel. You know what's good about this? It reminded me, I've been to Lake Tahoe in a long time. I love Lake Tahoe. God, is that a cool place?
Never
been there. Serious as you shall have thought.
Never been there.
You ever been to Lake Tahoe?
No.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Huh.
What'd you like about it?
It's just really, it's incredibly pretty. Scenic, of course, and it's got casinos, which is great. Gambling always makes a good thing better, as Homer says. And where do you land to go to? Well, you can land and you fly to Reno, and it's about a 40-minute drive. Have you been to Lake Tahoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Oh, well, it's a road trip.
For sure. So anyway, Frank Sinatra Jr. Kidnapped at gunpoint. And I'm trying to remember how old he was. I think he was like 20, 21 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days later, his dad paid $240,000 in ransom, which is kind of an odd amount. But he ponied it up. And this story is so stupid. I've read this before. Frank Sr., because he had to use payphones throughout the ordeal, carried a roll of dimes with him everywhere he went, you know, for those 3 days.
Yeah.
And because of this event, he then carried a roll of dimes with him at all times for the rest of his life.
Oh, what a pain in the ass.
And they even buried him with a roll of dimes, supposedly.
That's how much he cared about Junior.
But I'm thinking, first of all, payphones went up to 25 cents in like the 80s or the late 70s.
He carried the dimes with him.
The last decade of his life, I mean, when did payphones go out? In the 90s?
Yeah. But he wasn't using them. It was just to remember what happened to Junior.
And it seems like, I think it's either just total bullshit or just stupid.
It sounds like a story that Frank Sinatra Jr. made up.
Possibly. And Frank Sinatra Jr., by the way, the kidnappers weren't in prison that long. They got out, I want to say, in the late 70s.
Mm.
I think the main guy was in prison for about 15 years, which I thought you'd be holed up for a good long time for something like that.
Was Junior known for anything other than being kidnapped? Did he do anything?
He did. He was a band leader.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
1966, the Beatles started work on a new song that would take months to finish called Strawberry Fields Forever. And there's some really cool early versions of that, which were not entirely different, but there's just the structure of the song's different and a lot of effects and whatnot. And in the end, McCartney got Lennon to move the "Let Me Take You Down" because I'm going to the what's essentially the chorus to the front of the song, which is unusual.
Mm.
But I think Strawberry Fields is one of the great, great Beatles songs, no doubt. They also had that problem with the song. And the orchestral part, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yep.
Well, they had two parts of the song that they wanted to split. George Martin wanted to splice together, and apparently it didn't match. And I think he had to slow down the second part in order to match it to the front part.
He liked splicing, didn't he?
He did. And,
he was obsessed with splicing.
They were pretty obsessed with very speed, too.
Oh, really? I mean,
they very speeded voices a lot. in that case, they just he slowed down the second part of the song to so the splice would match.
They're kind of like this music that uses auto-tune today and all the electrical stuff.
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't know.
I wouldn't go that
they
far.
They used all the cutting-edge technology then, let like artists do now.
Well, they used what was available to them, which wasn't much.
If auto-tune existed in the 60s, the Beatles would have used it.
I don't think so.
Changed their voices, just like messing with the pitch and the EQ.
No, isn't auto-pitch for people that can't sing?
Auto-tune?
Auto-tune.
It can be, but it also changes, you know, pitch and tone.
Which version is this, Jay?
It's supposed to be an outtake off of
Anthology 2. Cool.
I like it when they did Strawberry Rehabs forever, about Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, that was a great song. You can actually hear the guitar on this. You really can't hear in the final version.
I was just thinking, it must be high on blow. The Strawberry, Daryl Strawberry versions in my head.
It's a great song.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Always know, sometimes think it's me.
Can you see if the acoustic version's on there, Jay? It's getting hard to find the Beatles on YouTube these days. They've really pulled a lot of it down.
Why?
Because I think it's on another service.
Oh. Another video service?
Another audio service.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, Pandora or something. So somebody's policing it. Because I've noticed I've looked up a lot of songs lately and I can't find them. Or I find them and there's no audio. Or cheesy covers. Take three. I don't know what take three is. There's another acoustic version that's kind of structured like the song, but it sounds a little cleaner too. It's probably not even up there. Like I said, are you having trouble finding Beatles songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a drag. There it is. George Martin talked about working with Lennon and how sometimes hard it was for him to communicate what he wanted to do with his songs. Whereas McCartney knew exactly.
Who, Lennon?
Yeah, Lennon would talk in, Martin. Like, for the benefit of Mr. Kite, you know, I want to smell like the circus.
Oh, God.
Huh?
Whatever. Sounds like Lennon would have lived in a ghost ship.
Yeah, he wasn't always easiest to work with, but if you figured out what he was getting at, you know, there was some great magic came out of it, no doubt. 1968, Graham Nash left the Hollies. on this day, December the 8th, and began working with Stills and Crosby. Would eventually, of course, add Young to that. Not a bad move. His book is great, by the way. I think we talked about it.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, he put out a book about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's really good. I mean, of all those guys, I think Graham Nash is the most, I don't know, what's the word? Well, he just sort of tells the story in chronological order. It's very, makes sense. It's just very
most
linear.
Most normal?
Yeah, the most normal. Yeah, for sure.
More than Stills? More than Stephen Stills?
Yeah, Stills is pretty out there. And Neil Young, I swear, every time he puts something out, it's just all over the place.
Yeah,
yeah. I find myself kind of bored by his documentaries, and there's always great things
preachy.
In there.
Yeah,
yeah. And he's a little preachy too.
I love that story.
But I love Neil Young. I mean, I love his music. 1969. This really kind of cracked me up. Jimi Hendrix was on trial in Canada for pot possession, and he testified on December 8, 1969, telling the court he had smoked pot four times.
69.
Four times.
He got busted one of the four times, too. What's the chance of that?
Oh, yeah.
He used cocaine twice, and he'd used LSD five times. So he had done LSD more than he had smoked pot.
Well, at least he didn't say that, this is my first time.
True.
He just happened to be caught on his first time.
I guess that was smart. He said, told the jury that he had outgrown drugs, and the jury agreed, found him not guilty.
All right.
Let him go. 1973, Roxy Music has their first number one when the album Stranded is on top of the UK charts for a week. 1977, a riot in Brisbane, Australia, when Blondie doesn't show up for a gig. She was unwell, as they put it.
What does that mean?
She was sick, I guess.
Diarrhea?
Unwell? Yeah, maybe she just didn't want to get descriptive. Female problems? I don't know. But they didn't like it. Styx reached number one on the U.S. charts for the only time, probably one time too many in my mind, with Babe on this day in 78. Mr. Roboto didn't make the top of the charts. No Roboto.
What about
Roboto, Mr. Roboto?
What about Renegade?
Nope. Or Lady. I thought Lady would have been a number one.
It's funny. I don't like him. I kind of like the song Renegade.
Too much time on my hands.
Is that Renegade? Oh, is that?
No,
that's a different song, yeah.
It's its own.
Yeah, I didn't like. I never liked any of their songs.
You don't like Renegade? Come on, man.
You're my lady. This is Dennis DeYoung stuff, isn't it?
Sweet. Hit number 16 in 1979.
Are you seriously a Renegade fan?
Well, you're not? What are you talking about? Sweet.
No, this is just noise to me. I didn't even know. I knew they had a song called Renegade, but I didn't even know it was this song.
Oh, really? It's not. I don't love it, but it's honestly, I don't find it that bad. Like, if I was driving this came out, I'd probably turn it up.
Really? Fascinating.
It's not bad. Is this that bad? God, I'm hitting a cultural low tonight between this and the trailer for Baywatch.
It's just not for me. I don't know. I never liked Styx. You know, I've always said I was so disappointed to be from a great place like Chicago and have so many bad bands be from there.
Well, I'm only comparing that song to the rest of their other songs, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Mr. Roboto sucks. Come Sail Away is awful.
What about Lady? Does that get you emotional?
Yeah,
thinking about your lady?
Bit, yeah.
You're my lady.
Tommy Shaw.
Oh, this is Roboto. They really had big visions of this being a big Broadway thing.
Yeah. Isn't the most of that Dennis DeYoung or no?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, if I was in the band, I would have just said, I'm just count me out of this one. Can you get another bass player? Like, you imagine putting this together piece by piece?
No.
Secret.
You know, but think about the time this was released, you know? Robots were coming in style.
Well, you love robots.
I know.
Officer Robot.
Who doesn't like robots? Officer Robot rules.
Robots are cool.
Yeah.
You think they're just trying to go off of Devo?
Devo with Whip It kind of changed.
It does sound a little bit.
Yeah, there was sort of a musical movement in that direction a little bit. Remember Clones by Alice Cooper? I love that song.
See, Styx is always evolving, man.
They're with the times. I guess something to be said
too
for that.
Too bad it was always crap, except for Renegade.
Yeah, the ideas were great. The execution sucked. Oh, man. I would ask to sit this one out, too. I couldn't figure out how Tommy Shaw and Jack Blades ended up in the damn Yankees. Like, yeah, I would thought, yeah. Ted would have just thought this band was so bad.
If I ever told you before, Drew, their bassist in Styx is like the most inactive person on stage. No stage presence at all.
They just hated the music.
I'm here.
Hey, I was just reading about Renegade. Did you know that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense uses it as their theme song?
Really?
Show it on the Jumbotron at Heinz Field. So it does fucking rock, man.
Can't they come up with something better?
No! It's perfect. It's a song, you know, it's a tough song. It's about outlaws and renegades.
Oh, boy. How about the Clones, Jay? You need to hear Alice Cooper. And the Roboto theme. A little different. Clones. Kind of robotic.
Too much.
I don't even know what their bass player's name is.
He's just, anytime I've ever seen him, he's just...
Too much time on my... Oh, I always forget to clap. It's another good clapping song. He's trying to get rid of the time on his hands. That and Peace Train.
Clap it away.
Great clapping songs.
Well, he pointed at his watch when he was singing the hook there.
Oh,
yeah. Here's a robot. Here's what Roboto could have been. I've never seen this video before. Get some hand claps in here. Should like this, Mark. You and Charlotte can clap along.
The claps aren't as obvious as Too Much Time.
True. Or Peace Train.
I mean, honestly, the clap makes Peace Train the song that it is, right?
It's a big help. Very underrated.
You want to hear a fun story about Cat Stevens?
Yeah, I always love this
real
fun.
Real short story in the Daily Show book. Remember when Stewart and Colbert put on the rally to restore fear and sanity in America? The big rally they had?
I don't remember it, but...
It was a huge success, but they didn't know... They had no idea what they were going to do, really. So someone came up with the idea... You know, the juxtaposition of the Colbert Report and the Daily Show. So he thought, oh, we're going to have Peace Train. We'll have Cat Stevens sing Peace Train, and then Ozzy will come in and blow him out of the water with Crazy Train. And I forgot what they ended it with. They ended it with another Train song. But he got a lot of...
Kept it rolling?
No, I'll have to look it up. But Stewart... Oh, no, it was the OJs.
Love Train.
Love Train. That's
great
how
song. Oh, man, I love that
song. The funny
song.
Part of when they're telling the story in the book is... John Stewart's like, I thought the OJs just lived in a house together and woke up and had breakfast together. Then, you know, they were all just hanging out. But in reality, it's like, well, the one OJ is doing his shift as a taxi driver. He'll have to call us back when he gets done. And they're all spread out the country. So he thought it'd be so easy to get the OJs to perform a song. But in reality, they're just have normal people jobs, and he had to get them all in. Stewart took a lot of shit from Salman Rushdie for having Cat Stevens there.
Oh, really?
Because
I was going to say that's always the complication with Cat Stevens.
Apparently, Cat Stevens agreed with the fatwa on Salman Rushdie.
And so, oh, he agreed.
Yeah, no, he was all for, you know, taking Salman, you know, the satanic verses and taking him out. So Jon Stewart said he admits he was wrong for having Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens
there.
Was that radical?
Oh,
what a fuck
Cat
face.
Stevens was pretty radical with his Islam.
So he wants
Islam Youssef.
He wants to murder a man.
Yeah.
Because he criticized something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
But Jon Stewart's like, I didn't even think of that until it was brought, you know, he's like, I didn't know until it was brought to his attention. So he actually felt bad he had him in just to perform Peace Train.
Well, that pisses me off that Cat Stevens got to nail Carly Simon, fucking terrorist.
Maybe it's Islam Youssef is the terrorist and not Cat Stevens, right?
He was. He had a date with Carly Simon. She was making dinner for him. He was like 3 hours late, which is what the song Anticipation is about.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she banged him anyway.
Yeah. Well, that worked then. Power move. Yeah. It was really late.
He made himself more desirable by being late. She thought she lost him.
Like the first morning, songbird has
oh, Blackbird, damn.
Let's see, where was I? Oh, yeah, John Lennon was shot on this day. 5 times by Mark David Chapman, prick.
Did he make it?
Dakota. Did he make it? Oh,
did
yeah.
Did he survive?
Yeah, he survived. He lived till 87. He was handicapped. A lot of people didn't know that.
He dating a Playboy model?
Yeah.
Lennon had signed Devil's Fantasy for Chapman earlier that day, but Chapman was on a mission.
What a load.
He signed out from his job as John Lennon.
Oh, they should have known.
No, dick. We'll come back to John Lennon. Vince Neil's crash in Redondo Beach, California on this day in 84. Kills Razzle from Hanoi Rocks. He only went to jail for 20 days.
Yep.
Paid $2.6 million in compensation. But, you know, that story from The Dirt, Vince Neil's lawyer talks about how when the judge said he'd have to go to jail for 30 days, and I think he got 20 in good behavior or something, or overcrowding, I don't know, whatever. They let him out for 20, but he said, I could go to jail. We got a tour.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. He is a jackass, too. You know,
yeah.
To be showing up in public drunk off his ass all the time the way he does. You know, goes on in Rockline, bombed off his ass.
This is his alleged friend, too.
Yeah, it's just so disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's got a problem, he's got a problem. But at least, you know, keep it to yourself somehow. Dimebag Darrell was one of 5 people killed on this day.
That was today?
2004, yeah.
Wow.
Guy stormed the stage during a damage plan show in Columbus, Ohio. 25-year-old Nathan Gale was shot and killed by police after shooting 5 people. And that's that.
Oof,
the Lennon thing, though.
Shitty day in history.
I know. We have the, well, there's Howard Cosell, of course, announcing on Monday Night Football, which is how so many people found out. And also the doctor, this is wild. Can you imagine John Lennon being brought in and he has no vital signs, no pulse, no nothing. And, you know, hey, it's John Lennon. Bring him back to life. Come on, let's go.
No.
He joins me on the phone this afternoon here on KMOX. Doctor, thanks for doing the show today.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So you had put in a long day, and you were actually on your way home, and what happened?
I was in the emergency department from 7 until 10:30. I went home. I sat down to watch the 11 o'clock news, and before the news started, the nurse called, said, Dr. Lynn, we have a gunshot wound, no vital signs, please come back. I raced out to the corner, got in a cab, and did come back. We didn't know who was coming in. Police brought the patient in that night, carried him into the trauma room, and we were ready for him.
And when he got in, was he surrounded by anybody besides Yoko?
2 police officers, and those were the only people that were there. Yoko Ono did not come in yet, and in fact, we were not 100% certain who this patient was. We didn't know who he was. What we knew was that
look
he
at
had
him.
No blood pressure, no pulse. He wasn't breathing. He was losing a tremendous amount of blood, and he had 3 wounds in his chest. We knew we had to act very quickly. We started an IV. We transfused blood. We actually did an operation in the emergency department to open his chest, look for a source of bleeding.
You pause it for a second, Jay.
Cardiac massage.
Can you believe somebody didn't go, hey, it's John Lennon coming. He's been shot. Get the best blood in the fucking house down here immediately.
Maybe they, I don't know. I wonder if there was... Didn't he get out to the media because someone just happened to be there? Like next, like how they found out where he was.
I think you know, gunshots in front of the Dakota was a pretty
no. But what hospital he went to? Wasn't there a story about a reporter who like sidled up to? I'll have to find it.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there's. I know what you're talking about.
So in other words, maybe they were trying
it
to
got
keep
out.
It.
I mean, this news got out immediately.
Yeah, but maybe it was a thing where they don't want everybody in the hospital flipping out because somebody famous is there.
I know. It is interesting, though. I remember when Diana was in the car crash, mm-hmm. how that doctor talked about how he massaged her heart for an hour.
Yeah.
And normally after 10 minutes, of course, they give up. Yeah. They're like, oh, no, it's dead. But, of course, if you're Diana, they'll massage your heart for an hour. Anyway.
Well, wasn't that kind of similar in a way, too, of when Prince died? The hospital he went to, they couldn't give him a private room.
Oh yeah. In Moline when they brought the plane down.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't paint it purple or anything.
How dare they?
And man, Prince is coming. Get the fucking painters in here. Paint the room purple. Let's go. Okay, more of Dr. Lynn.
I literally held his heart in my hand and pumped his heart, but there was complete destruction of all the vessels leaving his heart. There was absolutely nothing that we could do to restore his life.
Was he what would be called dead on arrival?
He was dead on arrival. We tried our best for 25 minutes to give him whatever conceivable possible chance there was, but we did not succeed.
From a medical perspective, was Mark David Chapman a good shot?
Mark David Chapman was an amazingly good shot. All three of those bullets in the chest were perfectly
placed. Fuck him. Don't call him a good shot.
They destroyed all of the major blood vessels that took the blood out from the heart to all of the rest of the body, to the head, to the arms, to the legs. There was no way
give him a trophy or something
could take place in this man, and there was no way that anyone could fix it.
At what point did you realize or were you told that this was John Lennon?
Only after he came into the emergency department did we know. We took his wallet out of his pocket. The nurse immediately chuckled and said, "This can't be John Lennon," because it didn't look anything.
She chuckled?
Nice having a laugh.
But in fact,
sense
it
of humor.
Was. And shortly thereafter, Yoko Ono came into the emergency department, and we were
100%
certain who we had, John Lennon.
Are you the one who had to tell her?
After we were done, it was my job to walk down to the end of the hall. She was in a quiet room at the end of the hall with Dave. I walked in and I told her. She did not accept that well. She screamed, she yelled, she said, "It's not true, it can't be, you're lying, he's not dead." But then after
it's
yelling
weird that a doctor's
minutes,
saying
she
that.
Sort of snapped out of it and said to me, "Dr. Lynn,
delay
the announcement. My son is at home. I don't want him to hear about his father's death on TV. Give me 20 minutes to get home first."
Oh,
and did you?
Of course we did.
Did
we
you?
Helped her get out
he's
of the hospital.
No, I was a meaty guy right there. He's a good friend of mine. I had to give him the scoop.
Exit on a quiet street in New York. But we forgot to note that she was driven to the hospital in a very large Rolls Royce. And when the Rolls Royce pulled up to the side door, hundreds of people accumulated. We literally had to send the police out to get her out the door. We did allow her to go home. And we made the announcement in the hospital lobby. I walked into a room with about 300 reporters, microphones, TV cameras pointing in my direction. And
what's this interview from?
John Lennon was brought to the Roosevelt Hospital.
I know the guy's from KMOX in St. Louis, I think.
He had three wounds to his chest. In spite of extensive resuscitative efforts, he was pronounced dead.
I'm just letting that announcement go on in the background. That's nothing you have to run off to, is it?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
I'm sitting on the Queen Mary 2 about to go on my vacation.
Oh, you are? I thought we were talking to you in a hospital somewhere and you were...
that's not the emergency department.
Who is this dick?
I'm glad to hear that. I guess the buffet must be open.
Oh, God.
So you make the announcement to the assembled press, and by this point, word has also gotten out because an ABC TV producer named Stephen Weiss just happened to be in there, having had a motorcycle accident that night, and he had gotten the word over to the local ABC television station, and they had gotten it to Howard Cosell on the air on Monday Night Football. Was the hospital, and were you then besieged by Beatle fans?
There were several hundred Beatle fans in the ambulance.
Why would you besiege
the
doctor?
Any announcement was
made. Fans are dumb.
The hospital
sometimes.
Was surrounded by people.
Oh my God, the doctor!
Like 300 or 400 people. Eventually, most of them went up to John Lennon's home, the Dakota at 72nd and Central Park West, but the hospital was busy and surrounded with people all evening.
And did anybody come back to you later to have you tell your story for any book or other magazine stories? I mean, I know you've gotten...
They asked no, it's better questions.
Nobody cared.
This week, but was there anything after that?
After that, for two or three days, I spoke only to the press. I did almost nothing else, mostly print media at that time, but we did a tremendous amount of talking and explaining exactly what had happened. Yes, there was a lot of interest.
Now, I have to ask you this only because I'm honestly curious about this and not because I have a disgusting mind. I'm a big Beatles fan, and I've seen a lot of things show up on the Internet in the last few years that are Beatle-related, some of them real, some of them fake. But even among the fake things, I've never seen anything show up in the Beatle memorabilia shows or on eBay and similar sites that say, this was the sheet used to cover John
Lennon. It's actually a good question.
This was the sponge used in the operation.
Well, let's see what the question is.
For that.
What?
In the midst of talking to the nurses were crying, they were anxious, we needed to talk and figure out what we could say, I had to interrupt and say, staff, we have to make certain that every single sheet is sequestered. I want them all put in this laundry bag. We have to make certain that even your uniform...
So they're my grudge.
I can cut them up into 2x2 pieces and put them on, put them up for auction immediately.
We took the medical record and put it in a sealed envelope and gave it to a high-level administrator. I think that record is still in a vault. We wanted to make certain that exactly what you were describing did not happen, and John Lennon's
privacy was protected. That's amazing foresight,
though. Were all those things then destroyed?
Everything was destroyed. There is nothing left that could possibly fall into anyone's hands, the wrong hands or the right hands.
Were you a Beatle fan at the time, Doctor?
I was a neighbor to John Lennon. Oh! I knew John Lennon.
Way to bury the lead, Doctor.
In the Japanese restaurant on my corner quite frequently. They walked the streets. They were in Central Park.
That doesn't really answer the question,
the
though.
School, ethical culture
school, were you a Beatle fan or what?
Rachel,
well, I lived by
to,
him.
And they contributed to the same charities in the community that I did.
Ooh.
I knew them as neighbors and friends and participants.
They contribute more than you?
That must have been incredibly difficult for you to do that night then, knowing them that well.
If it's always difficult to deal with a death.
He didn't know him that well. Difficult. Don't give him that credit.
I didn't recognize him. He laughed.
A very small part in history. And unfortunately, a small part in the life of a very important man.
Doctor, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this afternoon. I hope you go off and have a very nice vacation now and can put all of these horrible memories out of your mind for just a little while. I know they've come flooding back this week, and especially today. I thank you very much for sharing them with me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Dr. Stephen Lin, who is the emergency room physician, the head of the emergency room.
How about the HOCO announcement?
All right.
Which is how everybody heard about this.
I love it when the argument he's having, not the argument, the discussion with Gifford. And Gifford's going on explaining it. Cosell just finally goes, all right.
Seconds left, Cosell was uncertain what to do. He told Gifford off the air what he knew, that John Lennon was dead. In the booth, before coming back live, they had less than a minute to decide what to do.
He was shot outside his apartment. News flash, can you?
Absolutely, I can see it.
You can?
You betcha. We've got to. If we know it, we've got to do it.
All right.
I don't hate it. It's a tragic moment.
All right.
This is going to shake up the whole world.
All right.
I'm shocked Howard didn't see this.
Is he not that hip?
Fuck, Howard. Yeah, absolutely. Howard, I don't know. I think he just didn't want to say it in the world of pop culture. Yeah,
obviously,
I think
he knows how huge, you know.
Lennon was on Monday Night Football like 5 years before.
That's right, yeah. All right.
I don't know, it's strange.
It was just a situation where you didn't quite know what to do with it. And meanwhile, we decided we would go ahead and go with it.
Don Smith is on the line.
There's 3 seconds left in the game. The winning field goal is coming right up.
Who's playing?
Yes, we have to say,
Pats.
Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
I thought he handled it extraordinarily well. Honestly, I was still concerned that maybe we had done the wrong thing. As it turns out, we didn't. We informed millions and millions of people that one of the great people of show business had been assassinated.
Show business? Wow. Still blows my mind. That fuck Mark David Chapman. Who gets conjugal visits?
Does he still get them?
I think so. I just read something about that not too long ago. But we found that out.
I love Seinfeld Night, right?
Yeah, we found that out a long time ago because Meltdown knew a guard at that prison where Mark David Chapman was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he loved Seinfeld. Like Thursday, he was all fired up. Hey, it's Seinfeld Day. I killed John Lennon, but it's still Seinfeld Day. And he married some chick while he was in there. And they got conjugal visits. I think it was once a year.
Hmm.
But this chick would come in with, you know, groceries, steak and corn on the cob, nice. Mashed all potatoes. Right. And yeah, fire up some big meals. And
some
they just
pussy.
Screw up a storm all weekend.
Wow.
I didn't think anybody got conjugal visits. Why would that fuck?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that's his wife right there? Asian chick, not bad. I mean, that's a headshot.
When did they get married?
Hopefully she's huge.
Ah!
Below the neck. She's, I don't know what year they got married. Well, he lost a lot of weight.
He did?
He looks a lot thinner there.
Oh, so he's been working out?
Yeah, I'm on a diet. You know, I killed John Lennon, but since then I've gone on a diet, lost some weight. Found love of my life.
Screwing all the time?
Such a loser. He and Hinckley just, I get them mixed up all the time.
I do too. All the time.
Well, the shootings were within 4 months.
Yeah.
Because Hinckley was March
both,
of 81, I think.
They're both loads too.
Yeah, total loads. They look a little bit alike. Yeah. I wonder how the Hink dog's doing.
Plus, you know, the three, well, John Hinckley Jr., Mark David Chapman.
Yeah.
Hink
which
dog's
became,
doing great, man. He's got that job. He's going to Subway all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cut, he and mom cut, are riding around.
Lawn, cutting the lawn at that church. Right?
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, he's owning that house. Running his mom ragged.
Oh, the Hink dog. Hey, still no word on this girl that's been missing in Farmington Hills. This story just does not sound good. They had a bigger story today. It was pretty much the same stuff.
Yeah, they acted like they were releasing more information, but I don't know what was really new.
You know, really just the car keys on the yellow fob or whatever.
Yeah. I thought we knew that.
And the turquoise jacket. Yeah, we already knew that. And they want to know if anybody saw the black vehicle with the mud on the side driving home on 10 Mile Road. Because it seems something happened on that ride home. I have a feeling it was at the complex, though. It doesn't seem like because her purse is in
the car. Apartment complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you said, her car was like 8 feet from the door.
And you got to figure that if somebody took her, that it happened. Although it would probably have happened right at the car door because everything was still inside the car.
Yeah, there's no way she would get out of the car and not take her purse.
But she appeared to have taken her phone, right? Because the phone was missing.
Yeah.
Pocket.
Could be on her, though.
It could have been her pocket, yeah. I mean everybody always has a phone in their hand, too.
It's just very strange. The timing is strange. A Friday afternoon around 5 o'clock. I mean, just an odd time
to be abducted. Well, it's getting dark, but still plenty of light. Aren't you surprised there's not more cameras?
I just
assume there's cameras everywhere now.
Well, her whole route home, you would figure on 10 Mile Road... going west.
You got to believe it. They're studying any camera along that route to see if the car was following her.
They've got to have, I would assume that at certain intersections, there's no doubt, or passing certain businesses, they must have seen her car.
Yeah.
They must know how far it got, or at least as far as they can know based on the surveillance. I don't know about the apartment complex, but surely they know more than they're telling us.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're asking about 10 Mile Road in her drive home says they must know she was on. She at least got to 10 Mile Road. But it's just.
You got to think somebody's going to find that phone, too, because they Don't they think the phone was just discarded along the way somewhere?
Must be, because if the phone's on, you know they'd be all over it.
Yeah. Awful.
But what about, has there been anything on Sherry Panini in the last
Papini?
Day or so?
If you're Papini, big nitty bong. They did some stuff, something on GMA today, and it was about what we were talking about yesterday regarding
her friend.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're basically saying, yeah, there's similarities, but after about six similarities, it ends there. And they talked about that case a little more, really, which is everything we had talked about, that the 16-year-old was dating they think they know who murdered her.
Uh-huh.
Because she was dating an older man who was
Did they catch that guy? Did they charge
they
him?
They didn't have any evidence or enough evidence to charge him.
Is he still around?
I think so. It's not like anybody's talked to him, but he gave one interview at the time and claimed that she was trying to get $2,000 out of him, and he dropped her off at home, and that was the last he saw of her.
Well, okay.
Yeah, just a bizarre story.
Have you been following the, we talked a little bit with Skin yesterday about the baseball trade, the White Sox trade.
Sure. Adam Eaton.
And sale to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And, of course, today, I don't know why it took me this long to get around to thinking it, but why did we get rid of Dave Dombrowski again? Why did the Tigers let him go?
Because he couldn't win a World Series.
But who can? I mean.
Well, it's a lot easier when you have an open checkbook, too.
But you get there twice in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the playoffs four times. I mean, it was a good run. It was certainly.
Yeah, but it's kind of like not getting them over the hump, not getting that championship.
I just thought it was.
Plus, they wanted to start saving money, too. So
let's just say, for example, that they never went to the playoffs in that six-year stretch. But, oh, no, they won the World Series 1 year. Yeah. Every other year was awful.
Yeah.
So that would be that much better, so much better than the four playoff trips and the the two World Series appearances and the four times.
Look how much 1984 is lauded. You know, there was a string of four or five good years there, and then it was all crap surrounding it before and after.
But, you know, after 84,
had 83 to 88.
Within 3 or 4 years of 84, well, actually by 88, 89 so
was
4 or 5 years. Yeah. Sparky Anderson's job is in jeopardy. The whole thing is blowing up. People are leaving via free agency.
My point being, wouldn't you rather have 83 to 88 with a world championship than this last decade?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I don't think you can always be that picky. Would somebody else have gotten him a world championship?
I think the idea was it was just time for him to move on. Yeah, we wouldn't be the Tigers wouldn't be spending like they have in the past if Dombrowski was here.
They wouldn't be spending.
They don't have the open checkbook that Boston has.
No, they don't, but
I like Dombrowski. I think he did some good things, but it's a lot easier when you have a pretty fat checkbook to work with.
But he still reeled off some great moves.
Sure.
And he's doing it in Boston, too. And by the way, Sale is not that expensive for his talent level. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday.
It's the end of the contract.
It's not a bad deal at all.
No.
I really think, to be honest, I'm shocked that there's so little interest in Verlander at $84 million over 3 years.
I think there's more interest out there than we know.
There has to be. Because
I'm just surprised nobody's been able to pull the trigger.
The fact is that if you can pick up a starting pitcher who's only got 3 years on his deal, 3 years is about what you want to have on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot can happen in 3 years. But at the same time, if you had to bet, you know, Justin Verlander would be good for 3 years, I would say, yeah, he'll probably be damn good for 3 years. I don't know much after that. So anyway, I don't know. I just feel like Avila, would I rather have Dave Dombrowski running this thing or Al Avila? And that's so easy for me to say. I don't care what you're spending, I'd rather have Dave Dombrowski doing it.
Well, would you rather have somebody other than him?
Not many. Maybe a guy or two. I don't know. I just think he's great. I thought he did a great job. And, you know, some of that open checkbook, by the way, some of that money was spent by Mike Ilitch because he wanted Cecil Fielder, because he wanted Upton. You know, those were his decisions directly. Some of the other decisions, there were some losers in there. I hate that Cabrera deal. I don't know how much of that is Dave Dombrowski.
The Fister trade.
Yeah, the Fister trade sucks.
All Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah. But overall, I just felt like I don't know. I just see Boston. The few deals that he's made have been really good. They were talking about the totality of what he's done in the short time he's been there. Pretty good. Pretty damn good. So anyway, and the Tigers do nothing at the winter meetings.
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
It's kind of a bummer. You got to believe that, like we were saying, the Dodgers, they all the rumors were that they had something going on with them.
Yeah, with Verlander and Kinsler, like there was going to be some multi, some giant deal made there. And now it sounds like there's zero interest in both. And Kinsler, I don't understand that. They only owe him $11 million next year. First of all, I would not let go of him if you only have to pay him $11 million. That's a bargain for what he does.
Sure, but you know, his value is at its highest right now. You know, you're going to lose him for nothing after if he has a great year.
If you get another second baseman out of it somehow. I don't know. I just, you know, there's a team there right now that can do something, certainly. They got these three young starters who are going to be a little bit better next year, I would hope.
They just have these massive contracts, and they just can't unload them.
No, they're not going to unload any of them unless they spend, unless they pay the money to do it. So if I was running this team right now, I wouldn't know what to do. Apparently, the only thing they have to do is get under the salary cap, which means they got to clip about another $20 million.
The luxury tax.
Right.
Which went up this year.
And, you know, when your goal, when your only goal is to get under the luxury tax, I'm not sure I like the way we're going so far is we just dumped Cameron Maben and got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We got a really.
Well, we got Jacoby Jones to fill that spot.
Yeah, but we gave away a guy who hit 315 last year for nothing.
What was he owed? $9 million, though?
Yeah, $9 million's not bad. The guys that they've talked the most about unloading are Maben and JD. The two best deals we have on this team. JD at $11 million is a huge bargain.
But once again, huge value to trade. I mean, that's the trade has to work out for both sides.
No, I get that, but it's funny. In the end, what we do, we unload the best deals we have, and we're stuck with the worst deals we have. So
I know it seems counterintuitive.
It seems like if you were going to move Maben, or if you're going to move JD, you tack on one of those deals that aren't so great, and you force someone to you know take a chunk of you force them to take a I don't know maybe it's you know one of the starters. Who's the guy that's got they owe $16 million a year, $18 million a year?
Sanchez. Yeah,
no. Sanchez with Kinsler, or you package Sanchez with JD.
If you could trade Sanchez and Pelfrey for a pile of garbage, you'd do it in a heartbeat, because that would get him under the tax right there. And throw in Mark Lowe for that pile of garbage, too.
Oh, God, I know.
If you could just find somebody to take
what
two of those.
What a horrific signing. I mean, what the fuck? Dave Dombrowski would not have done that.
Well, we don't know.
Pelfrey made no sense. No one understood that deal. They tried to sell it as, well, he's a ground ball pitcher, and you know, with a good defense like the Tigers, he should do great.
That was a disaster.
Yep. And I guess
well, you know, I was reading something the other day that said, look at everything else that's happened in the Central. You know, Wade Davis is gone from the Royals. The Indians lost a couple people that they didn't bother re-signing. And, you know, what the White Sox have done. So has the Central gotten any better? Have their competitors in the Central done much? Doesn't look like it. So, therefore, all hope is not lost. I don't think there's any way they're a playoff team.
I don't understand.
I just don't.
By the way, did we have any interest in Wade Davis? Did we throw our hat in that ring?
No, that's just the magic of Theo Epstein.
What is it with these guys?
He is unbelievable, man.
They give up Soler?
Yeah.
I know he's 24.
He's a young
player.
He's an off year, but yeah, he's got a lot of upside.
Certainly upside, yeah. But he had 238 last year, drove in 31 runs, and they get one of the best closers in all of baseball.
Yeah, but like I said, it was a major off year for him.
And who? For who? Soler?
Yeah,
true.
And they have a surplus of outfielders, but yeah, why would the Royals?
So you couldn't, I don't know, Cameron Maben for Wade Davis? Is that ludicrous if they'll take Soler for Wade Davis?
What does Soler get paid? About a small market.
Probably less. But he also, you know, we're talking about a guy that hits 38 home runs 2 years ago and he's healthy for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year had a damn good year, you know, he missed 6 weeks. And when he came back, I think he probably didn't have his power. His power numbers are probably off a little bit, but he's a 35 home run guy, no doubt.
He's owed 3.5 this year, 4.5, 4.5, and 4.5.
Solaire?
Yeah, so they're getting him for 4 years.
He's not JD.
Huh?
He's not JD.
You're talking about Maben.
Maben, yeah, Maben, true.
I mean, Maben would be 1 year at $9 million.
Right.
I would absolutely go with Solaire.
But Maben hit .315, Solaire hit .238.
Well, yeah, so, but he.
I'm not making deals with these guys.
Maben's
best
year ever, really.
True, but he's been on.
How old is Maben?
29.
Solaire's 24.
Maben's career is on an upswing, though. I mean, he's been really a slow starter in the big leagues, and he's become more of a regular player the last 3 years with ever-increasing numbers. This was certainly his best year. I don't know. What they got for him was pathetic. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no excuse for it. Fernando Rodney signed with the Diamondbacks. 1 year, $2.75 million.
Wow.
No interest there?
Apparently not.
You couldn't pay him $3 million?
It's got to go both ways, though. He'd have to want to.
Well, maybe if you put a few more bucks in his pocket, maybe he wants to. I don't know. It just looks so easy for these other teams to sign these guys and pick up these guys. And for some reason, we can never have a bullpen.
Nope. I've just come to accept that the bullpen's always going to be shit. It's always going to suck.
Well, there's no reason for it. I mean, I don't know. What can you say? That's Gloria Chapman?
Oh, you found her?
Got a phone number. Oh, she's got a number in Hawaii. Did he know her before?
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, sure. Dial her up. Are they 8 hours ahead of us or behind us?
Behind.
They're
west of us.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Europe sees.
Just ask it. I know it's 8 hours.
That might have been the dumbest question you've ever asked.
I knew it was 8 hours.
Is that another second grade?
I just couldn't. Wait a second. Exactly.
It's not 8 hours. It's six.
Are you sure?
It's either six or five, depending on when the time changes.
Okay, so I'm a little off on my Hawaii time.
It's all right. The point is that it's, afternoon there.
I could have sworn it was 8 hours. I don't know why.
There's a funny thing in the GQ article about Prince. They did kind of a stories about, people that knew Prince. It's a really good piece if you like to read about an eccentric. I think it was Van Jones, the CNN guy, said that Prince was always off by 6 hours. So that's why he would call people like 4 a.m. Because to him, in Prince time, it's 6 hours earlier.
Right.
Or 6 hours later. I just thought that was a really bizarre concept.
All those guys, those music guys, just keep ridiculous hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happens when they get older, but Prince sounded like he still was not sleeping.
No, I mean, he barely slept even when he was young and on top of things.
Gloria Hiroko Chapman. So she took his name. Yeah. Would not go through?
She's got her voicemail. Her cell phone goes direct to voicemail, and you can't leave a voicemail.
No landline?
But no. Landline's been disconnected, so that's her cell phone, but goes right to voicemail, so I have to keep trying.
Do you want to call the old lady who was serenaded by Bill Murray?
Oh, yeah, 94-year-old lady. Where did this happen?
It's at a basketball game. Murray's kid is a coach for Xavier. I believe he's a coach for Xavier.
Yeah.
And they were playing Baylor, so her grandson went up to Bill Murray and said, "Hey, it's my grandma's birthday." There's the number, Jay. "My grandma's birthday. Will you take a photo with her?" And he's like, "Well, let's do one better. Let's sing to her." So he serenaded her. Now, apparently, it's a story. But
the job it is being Bill Murray.
But what I found funny in it is that the grandson admits that grandma really doesn't know who Bill Murray is or know much about him. So it's more about the grandson.
What's wrong with fucking grandma? Wake up, grandma.
She's 94.
She's 94. So when she was...
Bill Murray comes into the world at 40 years prior, right?
Yeah, 76. He's on SNL. That's 40
so she's
years
54.
Ago.
She's 54. She's not hip enough to know what SNL is.
You're with it, Grandma. What the fuck?
She's already out of the money demo by the time he becomes popular.
But what, she never, she had no interest in Lost in Translation when she was 84?
No, hell no. She's watching reruns on TMC.
How about... I don't know. What about some Stripes or some of the early movies? Or wait, what about Groundhog's Day?
No, she hated it.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Wait, is this Marilyn?
Hi, Grandma.
I can hardly hear you.
Okay, Marilyn. We'll turn it up a little bit.
Okay, who
Not
is
really.
It?
This is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our radio show.
Who's calling?
In Michigan.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we heard you just had a big birthday.
Happy birthday.
Did you
Who
say,
are you kidding?
No, we're not kidding you. Did you just have a birthday?
Yes, I did.
Did Bill Murray sing happy birthday to you?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
and
wow.
How exciting was that?
Well, it was very exciting.
I mean, you must be a huge Bill Murray fan. Everybody loves Bill Murray.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know who he was.
What?
Told you.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
God.
Awful?
Marilyn.
That's terrible.
You never saw Groundhog's Day?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Did you see Lost in Translation?
I've never seen anything as Candy far Shack? As I know. I don't far, know. I didn't know who he was.
Wait, do you have a TV?
Yes.
Have you always had a TV?
Yeah.
Did you watch Saturday Night Live at all?
No, never.
Really?
No.
Are you binging on his movies now?
No. It was just something that there was never a lot of time to do to go out and... Anyway, I didn't know who he was, but I would love to know where I could get in touch with him, because I would like to thank him for all the notoriety and everything that's been going on now. So.
Oh, we'll pass it along to him.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk to Bill every now and then.
Now, so to you, basically, for your 94th birthday, just some strange 66-year-old was singing you happy birthday then. It didn't mean anything, right?
Right. Well, no.
Okay.
Except happy birthday.
Well, I mean, yeah,
thank
but
you.
Some 66-year-old singing happy birthday.
Yeah, it was. She just thought it was some regular guy.
Yeah.
It must have been exciting for your family, though. They all knew who he was.
Yeah, right. They're all younger than I am.
You know what I'm dying to know, though? All those years when you were not seeing Bill Murray, what have you been doing? If you were paying so little attention to pop culture, you must have had some exciting things going on in your life.
Well, every life's been very exciting all the time. I had three wonderful sons, and we did a lot of things with them, and I don't know. We didn't own a television for a long time, and anyway.
Yeah.
Who's a great actor that you loved growing up? Like, who was your favorite?
If anyone could have sung happy birthday to you, who's an actor, who would you pick?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I never have been a great follower of movies or stuff like that. So
really? There was never a sexy actor you liked when you were younger? Like Marlon Brando?
Well, Clark Gable,
yeah.
That was 100 years ago.
Clark Gable, that is going back
a
ways.
Sexy mustache.
Well, that's how far back I go to say that I was watching movies and stuff. So.
Yeah. No, 94, you've been around a long time, no doubt. We'll try and pass it along to Bill, because I'm sure he's getting a lot of attention out of this, too.
Well, I know it. That's why I would like very much to be able to either, you know, to email him or to write him a note or to talk to him. Cause,
well, she's on the computer.
I realize what from everybody. I've had dozens and dozens of phone calls and emails, and I've had, I don't know, 200 and, no,
Whoa.
Not that many, people hit the, anyway. And I would like to just thank him for his kindness.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure
so
he'd love to hear
you
from
you. You have email. That's pretty cool. I mean, a lot of people your age might not have email.
Yeah, well, I've got email. And,
yeah, for being maybe a little out of the...
Well, how did you know to call me? What are you...
Well, everybody's talking about it.
How about you? You said you got a bunch of calls today.
Yeah, Mark, where'd you read about this?
On the internet.
Yeah, where you probably spent a lot of time on the internet.
Bill told us to call her.
Yeah,
I mean, you're familiar with the internet, right?
Is that my son, Mark?
What?
No.
No.
No, no, no.
No, but nope. It sounds like a great, great son you have there.
Okay.
But he's not here.
Okay.
No, we'll pass that along to Bill and see if maybe he can drop you a line, and then you can thank him yourself.
All right.
But we want to wish you a happy birthday. And
Well,
and,
thank you.
And I would recommend Groundhog's Day. I think you'd like that movie.
Or Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you ever
heard? What about Bob? Was that one of them?
Oh,
what
yeah.
he was saying?
What about Bob? Is you know who Richard?
It.
You know who Richard Dreyfuss is, right?
Probably? No, I don't.
No, really. Wow, that's funny. Well, you still would like What About Bob? That's a very funny movie. I recommend.
Yeah, well,
that.
I think one of my kids has got it and is going to bring it over for me. So.
That's some great laughs, no doubt. You'll appreciate this a lot more after you see What About Bob. But anyway, happy birthday, and it's nice talking to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Marilyn.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Told you.
How can anyone ignore popular culture to that,
that
extent?
Much?
That's incredible.
That much?
She said we didn't have TV for a long while. I wonder what that means.
Maybe she didn't have it.
In the 50s, TV was maybe kind of new, but maybe they didn't have TV till, I don't know, like the 60s?
with something really hard for these folks. A big hit out of 77. Oh, Star Wars. Wars. Nothing but Star Wars.
A movie that Marilyn did not see. Clark Gable.
I know. Guy's been dead
for a
century. He was
dead in 62, I think.
She loved that mustache.
I wonder if she knew who John Glenn was.
Oh, correct.
John Glenn's the same age, right? Or he's a year
old.
Yeah,
he was 95. Yeah, she probably knew John Glenn.
Who John Glenn was.
She probably get wet if we mentioned John Glenn.
Yeah. For the first time in 50, 70 years. First time since Clark Gable died.
Oh, my God. Blech. All right. We got to get to our charity gig, so.
See ya.
Is that Marilyn?
That's Marilyn.
Wow. You know what? She looks
nice.
She looks like she would be incapable of taking a phone call.
Oh, really?
Looking at her? Yeah, she looks cooked. But she sounded good.
Hey, ma'am, you look cooked, but you sound great.
And there's Bill right next to her. That's a funny picture, isn't it? Look at Bill.
Oh, she does look cooked.
She's cooked, I'm telling you.
Maybe that's Mark, her son.
Ah, that guy's pretty
Yeah, he's pretty fired up.
An awesome sweater vest.
That's actually, I don't think it's a sweater vest. I think it's actually
a vest?
Down jacket vests.
Missing sleeves, that's all I know.
Yeah.
Never understood, but whatever.
Bill's pants.
I know Bill's got green pants on, really bright green.
Like he likes to be incognito, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You've seen his outfits for golf when he's in those pro-ams.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll be back on Sunday, Monday. And in the meantime, I asked people who want to advertise to contact us. We had a lot of people contact us, but if there's anybody else, just in case you missed those shows, you're interested in advertising, drop us an email to sales@drewandmikepodcast.com or to drew@drewandmikepodcast.com. Hey, we getting any donations lately, Jay?
Yeah, they're still coming in.
Are they? Great.
Yeah, I love it.
I thought I made the case pretty strongly the other night that we're only at the 6th percentile. We're hoping to get 10%. We had about 1,200 donors, I think, and you know that means there's like about 28,000 who have ignored our pleas for help.
Let's see. What do we do?
Okay.
6.11%.
Over the last few days. Yeah, we had a couple really down days there. And let's see, we got $500 on the 16th, or no, oh, the 6th. Yeah. And then, today's the 7th, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got nothing on the 7th?
I got to put the stats in for today.
It's the 8th.
Oh, okay.
It's not over yet. The day's not over.
It's not over, that's right.
Yeah.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Germans?
Huh?
He's rolling.
Yeah.
No, we're over 6%. We're comfortably over 6%, but we're not close to 10%. We'd like to get there. If you're one of the 28,000 who've ignored our pleas and you're in a position to help, it would be nice. As I mentioned, if we don't get any more help, we're still going to carry on. I'm not threatening anything. I'm not going to take my ball and go home. But it would be nice if we got some more. I thought Christmas season would be good for us. I don't know. Maybe people spend a lot of money on other stuff. Yeah. I don't have money for those assholes.
Hey! What's this lying around shit? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough...
Who's with me?
The tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
There's only one. I haven't seen that movie in ages.
And the Delta House is really down. Wormer really stuck it to him.
What the fuck happened to the Delta? I used to know. Where's the spirit? Where's the guts, huh? This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst. Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Pluto. We might get in trouble. Well, just kiss my ass from now on!
psychotic, but absolutely right. We gotta take these bastards. Now, we could fight them with conventional weapons. That could take years and cost millions of lives. No. In this case,
this is what leads to the Deathmobile.
We have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it. Let's do it.
All right, so there you have it. There's the inspiration you need. Let's go. Let's donate. Let's help this poor podcast get off its feet. Let's see. I was going to say you could write it off. No, you can't do that. That would be a lie. It's not a charity. This is not a charitable operation. This is just sheer, for your sheer enjoyment to keep this thing rolling. And like I said, I'm not taking my ball and going home. Just looking for some help from some of the 28,000... who've done nothing. I wonder if it's the same people buy t-shirts that donate. I bet you it's the same.
Oh, I bet you
it's the same 1,000 people.
Oh yeah.
But I thought the merch did really well.
It did.
Did you expect more or less about what we got?
I thought the first one was more. I thought the second one would have been less. But that's cuz I like the blue shirt.
Oh, the lion shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about this whole merch thing.
What do you mean?
Well, I always figure if you get what you want, you get it, and you're fine. But, you know, I think the merch people have a philosophy that you can keep putting out new merch, new ideas, you know, whether it's a drop that becomes really popular or somebody has a great idea, something to go with a picture or who knows.
You can, but, you know, you only want to do it a few times a year.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's sort of an ever-evolving thing, and I never thought of it as a revenue stream. I thought it was kind of a one-time thing, or maybe once every few years.
Well, that's why you got to come up with a new product.
Yeah, no, and our eyes are on that. And things are going pretty well, actually. We're going to end the year on a pretty good note. Whether we do any more in the way of donations or not, I think we've done fine. At least we got enough to keep us going. And we're working on the other part, which hopefully in January we'll kick off. I know we got a few people coming on board. I'm very confident of that. But in the meantime, enjoy the program, and we're going to have to shut down. We got to figure out when we shut down for holidays. I don't know when that's going to be, but that's going to be a nice stretch because I'm trying to think. Have I had more than one day off in a row?
God, I have no idea.
Jay?
One day.
Yeah.
There's one time you went to St. Louis, but yeah. You came back.
There are a couple other days, too.
A random Wednesday.
Yeah. There's been a couple rando days.
Well, some of that was me being at the Grand Prix, too. That slowed us up a little bit.
That was a rando day, though. Yeah. You know, that's like 4 days out of, you know, over 200. How many shows have we done?
This is number, well, part one and part two, but this is number 155.
155th show?
Yeah.
So we do about 20 a month. So, yeah, that's okay. So about 8 months worth. Yeah, so we do need a break big time. We always took a break around the holidays. I don't know how far up to the holidays we'll go.
Everyone's sick of us anyway.
Yeah, I'm sick of myself, too. I got to tell you, I'm running out of steam.
Plus,
I'm running out of ideas.
People can catch up.
Yeah, I cannot believe looking at the way people listen to the show that, first of all, there's 8 to 10 people listening to the first show every day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait, are they trying to catch up? Are you kidding me? And then you told me Julie was like months behind.
Mm-hmm.
Julie's trying to catch
she's
up.
About 2 months behind, yeah. And I keep deleting things on there to save my Simpsons game. I keep deleting the podcast. She thinks I'm doing it on purpose because I said something that she didn't want. I said, you're giving me way too much credit. I'm not that smart.
That's really funny. I mean, that you'd remember a show 2 months ago to delete?
To delete, yeah. And I'd leave it on there for that long.
And there are people, virtually every show is being listened to every day. Which just stuns me to no end. I think a lot of people listen to maybe the first few and then they take a big jump. But then you find that going back as far as 2 weeks, there'll be 50, 60 people listening. And then as you get like 3 days ago, there's like, you know, 1,000 people listening, which is I would expect to catch up at some point and stay caught up and just stay with, well, listen to today's show and then fuck it. But, hey, fine. If you want to listen to them all, it's more the merrier. Fine with me.
Well, there's people that listen to episodes multiple times, too. We're getting, you know, through email and whatnot. They're saying they listen to shows, you know, more than once.
That blows my mind. Yeah. But whatever. That's what it's there for. Use it all you want. That's what people, you know, when people comment about the podcast and they say, when we talk about going terrestrial, for example, people go, no, don't stay in the pod. I like the podcast much better. And it certainly has its disadvantages, but there is the freedom.
Like callers.
Yeah, callers. That's a big factor. We can instant fix that, though.
Instant feedback in general.
At some point, we'll be able to fix that.
Miscommunicating.
The freedom, though, you know, the language and the subject matter is such a huge thing. I think that makes up for a lot. What's that, five people on the first show?
Yeah, five people per
it's
show.
Still, I mean, that's incredible. It's fine. I know it's five new people at least.
Oh, there's people listening back again. Yeah.
And some people, too, will just come and they'll jump into today's show. So I don't know what our curve's looking like. It's flattening a little bit, but it's still going up. So, yeah, keep telling your friends and neighbors, and hopefully the merch being out there will help a little bit. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll just buy a big fat billboard after we pay for some other stuff. But, yeah, fourth microphone, that'll be nice.
I thought that was bought and paid for months ago.
It is. Frankenstein's probably got it over at his shop.
So and that's really his name, Frankenstein. Really his last name. I was thinking, I wonder why I wouldn't use another name, but I thought, well, if you're Frankenstein.
It's badass. Yeah, why would you?
Who would forget Frankenstein? Yeah. My God.
I want one.
Cool as that. He just married a chick into that name, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better.
Wild. So, hey, have a good one. We'll see you Sunday, and we'll hopefully see some of you at the charity thing tonight. So, have a good one.
See ya.